Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today on this September 2nd, 2008 edition. We're going to be live for the next 4 hours here. And Mike Rivero, who joined us last week because of what's happening with the election, and of course, he's also in the new film, Fabled Enemies, I produced, put out by Jason Burmes. He'll be popping in for his once-a-month visit today, and he's one of our most popular guests because of his great analysis skills. EU dependent on Russian energy balks at Georgia war sanctions. That is some good news in a de-escalation with Russia. The EU says, no, we're not going to put basically wartime sanctions on Russia now. But on the other side, there's escalation. Russia says U.S. may have sent weapons into Georgia, but independent aid groups are reporting that it is U.S. soldiers, quote, with the aid to areas of Georgia, and that it is being used as cover for weapons. Heels of the New York Times reporting that they're basically privatizing entire cities and handing them over to private interest. Complete and total fascism, global corporatism. We'll be going over that. Russia bombers again cloud the skies in Europe's far north. Big bears coming in. Big bear bombers. Russia state RNC attacks a nun and eight others swept into unmarked vans by police in Minnesota. Democracy Now's Amy Goodman does absolutely nothing with full press credentials and is violently manhandled. Two other Democracy Now! Reporters were savagely had their heads bashed into the concrete repeatedly with blood pouring out. The police making themselves look like absolute criminals. And they didn't act like that in Denver. In Denver, it was the most restrained I'd ever seen. I thought I was somewhat back in the USA, back in the land of the free. They were wearing Darth Vader outfits. They were federalized. They were a few times arrogant and told us to turn our cameras off. We refused and were not murdered. Tasered to death, shotgun to death with rubber bullets at close range. You know, that's happened to others. People die in these things, but they only menaced us a bit with bloodlust. But, I mean, that's like wonderful freedom land. That's like angel land compared to what I have grown accustomed to. So they are back at it, arresting 248 people just this morning alone. And I've been really checking local news reports, talking to people that we know on the ground. And basically, the anarchists did not break out windows or overturn benches or slash car tires until last night when they broke up from the approved police route in a caged avenue. We were part of permitted marches in Denver. They would literally lead you down alleyways with no one looking at you. So it was pretty bad. The whole point of demonstrating is to be seen. We had our free speech zone march. But the people, several thousand protesters, demonstrators, tried to actually walk down a real city street and were savagely, viciously attacked by America-killing thugs, cancer viruses, basically. And then the anarchists went nuts, started breaking windows, burning things, a few trash cans, slicing tires. And then the media superimposed that nationally first as a pretext for the police to do what they did. So they just juxtaposed the facts. We'll be right back.
Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He
of our interview with the founder of Rage Against the Machine, posted for members at PrisonPlanet.tv by this evening. Also, our Jerome Corsi interview, our Ralph Nader interview, and a bunch of others today, tomorrow, and out into Thursday. It is Tuesday. I think I even said Monday earlier. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of September 2008. Certainly feels like a Monday coming off of that long weekend with Memorial Day. But Labor Day. I can't even get all of this information straight, ladies and gentlemen. So much is happening and going on during the breaks here at the studio. Okay, I've got energy news, I've got war news, I've got police state news, I've got so much important information today. But since we have Kyle Baker and Matt and others from Iowa, We Are Change. There's also other We Are Change groups up there visiting the Genesis Studios. I thought, why not have them in studio right now, because they've been some eyewitnesses to the craziness going on up there for the RNC. I want to make it clear, though, the only reason that I'm talking about the RNC is not because this woman they're now calling a general. You can't make this up. If they tell the public that, they'll believe it. This woman, you know, was she part of the Independence Party? Is she a conservative? It doesn't matter. Presidents and vice presidents are puppets. The continuity of government system runs the nation for many years, and presidents are titular heads, are fronts. And if the public doesn't figure that out and the public doesn't understand that, they do that at their own peril. The reason I'm talking about it is because studying it as an event and to watch the people lose their liberties and freedoms, to see the police in the executioner uniforms for maximum intimidation, which the police admit it's for intimidation, beating up innocent men, women, and children, taking reporters to jail. They've arrested, what, 3 AP reporters, Democracy Now! People, women with flowers in their hands. And the message is being sent, you are scum, you are slaves, you are worthless, you work for us, the state owns you, cattle. You will do what you're told when you're told. And so that's why we're covering this and reporting on this, the sound cannons, the microwave guns, the secret FEMA camps. And if you study the history of revolution, if you study how these systems operate and how the state always tries to create large contingents or stratas of enforcers who despise and hate the general public and serve the imperium, you see that's what's being set up and built today, because in almost every successful revolution, and by successful, I mean overturning the existing power structure, you have the military and police joining in, at least to a certain extent, with the populace or the peasantry. And so that's why they spend so much time brainwashing and dumbing down the military and police. That's why they will not hire police over 100 IQ for at least the last 20 years in any major metropolitan department. And every time I mention that, I get emails and phone calls saying I'm lying. Just Google police 100 IQs or police not hired of over 100 IQ. I mean, it's hundreds of news stories. Detroit, D.C., L.A., Dallas, Houston. Now, does that mean there aren't cops with over 100 IQ that slip through? Certainly. The point is, they're looking for mindless football player types, and I'm not saying football players are stupid. I'm saying that cliche. They want a, on average, 6'1", 200-pound guy who will who likes to crack heads and doesn't really know what state he's living in, and who likes to go dove hunting on the weekends, and who likes to be macho and crack heads. Because he won't mind too much, Kyle Baker and Matt and others. So, guys, tell us first about yourselves and what you've been witnessing up there in Minnesota.
Well, I came up here to meet up with the Minnesota change guys here to just check out the, but I must also say that while we're bullhorning along the parade route, we had some cop cars going by and they're all giving us the thumbs up, so that was kind of a ray of light in the darkness, if you will. But yeah, it was just really crazy, especially me coming from Iowa, kind of a smaller town. Just I'm not used to seeing that kind of stuff, so it's I do have to say that these anarchists, though, they for all the sheeple out there, they're really doing great work for the New World Order to legitimize a police state due to their actions. I do got to say that it's unfortunate, but I really see a lot of people that are awake at some level. Again, we had a lot of people coming up to us and thanking us for what we're doing. We got to go. There was a concert here that had artists like Mos Def and Tom Morello playing and all that, and we had some guys come up to us backstage and thank us for the things we're doing. I had to pass them off to the Minnesota We Are Change because I can't consider myself a great activist as of yet. I don't have all the notches on my belt that some of these guys do, but it was just kind of a mind-blowing experience for me being on seeing the police state, but also seeing all the people that seem to be awake and appreciate what we're doing. It was just all kind of in the same bag there. So,
well, yeah. All I know is I've talked to several people who've talked to one of the major police chiefs, the St. Paul police chief there in the Twin Cities, and that he said, you want to know what real activism is? Check out We Are Change. And so you're telling me that where were you when the police were giving your 9/11 truth signs thumbs up?
I'm not sure what street we're on, but they had a path set up for the march. They had a preset path for it, and we kind of were ahead of the march the whole time, and we stopped closer to the end where it was coming back to the Capitol building, and we started to bullhorn there. And there was I don't know if they're responding to something else that was going on, but they're all driving by us with their lights on. They weren't going too fast, but they knew who we were because they're driving by us and they're smiling at us and giving us a thumbs up. And I got to say it's that really made me feel a lot better about
Well, I mean, police are more than anybody, like the military, are in a gang mentality. When they hear the governor saying it's an inside job, it's all about leadership. And if their former leader is saying that, then it starts breaking down that control paradigm. But I've been out in Los Angeles, 2 years ago for the 9/11 neocon symposium and exposing the neocon agenda, 9/11 exposing the neocon agenda program we had. And we had L.A. cops that the hotel hired, and then we had other LAPD police we saw outside, and then we had LAPD detectives that were some of the bodyguards for some of the movie stars. And, I mean, every LAPD cop I ran into was, we all knew 9/11 was an inside job day one. What are you talking about? Of course we knew they blew those buildings up. We're not stupid. What do you think, we're dumb? And I was just like, my God. I mean, they were just like, but it was real matter of fact. Like, what do you think, we're stupid? And I was like, okay, well, fine. So they certainly know what's going on. I've run into a lot of other police that know the truth. And I've had a lot of police and firemen give us the thumbs up the last few years in New York City for what's happened there. Now, I want to hold Kyle and Matt over. We Are Change Iowa up there visiting We Are Change Minnesota, because I want to get your witness accounts, your eyewitness accounts, on what you have seen going on with the anarchists. Because what the news we've gotten from other eyewitnesses we've talked to and reading a bunch of the local news, but we're still not sure if this is 100% accurate, the fog of war, as they say, the fog of hysteria. But basically, yesterday, you had a couple thousand demonstrators in the approved route. Some of them broke off and seven different directions is what we're told. The police then attacked those seven different groups, including Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! And two of her other reporters who they bloodied. They didn't bloody her, or she got beat up famously in East Timor, so she's been through tyranny. And so I want to get to the bottom of this. You know, we just report the facts. I went to Denver, and the police were behaving themselves, doing a professional job for all intents and purposes compared to the demonstrators, and so we said they did a good job. We're trying to find out the truth here. I had some sponsors get mad at me because I made fun of their banjo playing. But I guess that's the charm of this operation, is that it is so so big. There's so many listeners. And it might as well be run out of a shack. Let me tell you who makes it all possible, though. Let me tell you who's 21st century technology, whose brain makes it all possible. And that is John Harmon, up there doing the job of four guys in that studio. He is just absolutely wonderful, and we appreciate John Harmon. And I appreciate Paul Hartman here in the office, and also Wes and everybody else. Okay, let me go back to you guys. You heard me preface that going into the break. You're there at the Genesis Broom Closet Studio. Tell me exactly what you did see with the protesters, with the anarchists, what transpired that led to the 200-plus arrest, and Amy Goodman being mentioned. The police basically on complete ravenous power trips, like a shark pack having a feeding frenzy.
Yeah. As far as the anarchists are concerned, I just got the general feeling that they were all kind of hyped up and looking to get something going. Now, I can't lie, as I was waiting to get Billy clubbed or something, because a lot of the cops that were there and you know, all suited up and everything, they looked like they were definitely. I will say again, like I said, that they look like they're getting ready to start some trouble from my perspective. But on the other hand, too, the cops look like I got to say, when I was ahead of that march, I was kind of waiting to get the crap beat out of me. I can't lie, I was waiting to get Billy clubbed or something, because a lot of the cops that were there and you know, all suited up and everything, they looked like they were definitely ready to get down. That's for sure.
So bottom line, from what you've seen, and I understand it's all a limited perspective. We're going to get Anthony Asha and others on today as well to get their perspective. Bottom line, who do you think's behind this, or who was instigating this, the police or the anarchist?
Well, I think just having the police there in the presence that they were in, to me, it just seems really backwards, and it's almost just kind of setting up that atmosphere of fear. And when you get people like the anarchists that were behaving the way that they did, I think that that would provoke them into their mob mentality of, oh, we got to do something. Or I don't know if you follow with what I'm saying or not.
No, it's basically like a bullfight. You stick the bull in there, you stick the matador in there, you're going to have a fight. It's just like you stick two boxers in a ring. I agree. In the past, they'd have the riot cops off to the side or waiting inside their command bases. Then they would come out if something happened. This does escalate, but because of the anarchists, not all anarchists, the ones that break and burn stuff, in the past doing this, again, it sets the precedent to bring the police in. Then that escalates the whole paradigm.
Yeah, yeah. I think Matt has, Matt, my buddy here, has something he wanted to add.
Yeah, Matt, tell us your full name.
Hey, Alex, this is Matt.
Your full name.
Matt Waltzien, by the way.
Okay, Mr. Waltzien, tell us what you saw.
Well, the thing that surprised me the most is we were ahead of the crowd, like Kyle was saying, and there was one point where, being ahead of the rally, all of a sudden we were surrounded by cops, and I mean, they were wearing gas masks, they were just ready to take on whatever. Sorry, it's my first time live on the air, but I got highly, highly paranoid. I've never been put in such a paranoid state in my life. I was standing next to a tree to make sure I was out of the way of the cops when they were ready to start bum rushing people. I mean, just the overall sight and the way that the cops were being, it was overwhelming. I couldn't handle it. I mean, I was really, really starting to freak out.
So the Darth Vader outfits were scary.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that we were at war. That's pretty much, like, I've seen stuff like this in movies, but to be there in person and see all these cops and stuff, it was...
Well, the American people are the enemy of the private banks that have us going into receivership right now. Matt, stay with us. We're going to come back to you and hear the rest of the story on the other side.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, let's go back to Matt and Kyle. We are Change Iowa up there for the RNC. It just so happens the Genesis Network is based in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in the suburb, Burnsville. And we are talking to both of them right now. Specifically, break down what happened. Why were the police charging people? Why were they pepper spraying? Why were they tasering? Why were they firing rubber bullets and exploding these pepper spray and mace bombs, tear gas bombs? What initiated that? Because as far as I can tell, I don't just believe one press report. I've seen scores and alternative live videos that were fed over the web and people uploading to YouTube as well. I mean, a host of sources last night and this morning. I spent a few hours total trying to figure out exactly what was happening. And it looks like, well, the mainstream news even admits that the police wouldn't let people march where they wanted to go. And so then they came in with, quote, too much force, thought here in a free country you could go where you wanted, and attacked with rubber bullets and other, quote, less lethal devices. And that precipitated the, quote, anarchists to start smashing out windows and slashing tires. Is that accurate?
That's what it would seem like. One thing that I do want to mention about the march is we came, how it's set up, you came down a couple streets and there was a, like a, I don't know, it was like a John Deere Gator that had an LED display that said follow me, so that's what told everyone where to go. Now everyone went down a street, and one of the things that really I thought was peculiar was that you went down the street and then you made like a U-turn and came back up the same street, but you were now in a cage that was it was basically like a standing cage wall or a fence or something that it kind of boxed everyone in. I don't know what the purpose of that was besides maybe
no, they led you into a free speech zone. The same thing happened to us. What happened next?
Well, it was pretty uneventful. I mean, as far as like I said, we were up ahead of the herd, if you will. So we did hear some I don't know if you want to call them flashbangs or anything like that going off. I do remember before we started to bullhorn people, we're probably about three quarters done with the march, and all of a sudden I seen just a crowd of people just take off running, and then I saw some other people coming running back, and someone had a bunch of white powder on their face. So apparently they got maced or something. I don't know what that powder was, but they looked like they'd had better days.
So basically, you're confirming what the media says is the case. Now, the police basically wouldn't let people go their own way, and that's basically protest ending.
Right.
In Denver, I was at several demonstrations where it would come to the place it was supposed to be, and then people would break off in four or five different directions, and the police would ignore it. But in the case of Minneapolis-St. Paul at the RNC, that was not acceptable, and that's basically the official story. I was just trying to see if you could confirm that. And so we have to say the police acted badly yet again.
I would say, I mean, it definitely looks like it was set up to be a situation like that. I mean, it was like, you know, obviously they do all these things scientifically. They know how to control the herd mentality and all this. And really kind of studying this for a while, that's really what kind of stood out to me. It's just like, wow, we're walking through a cage. You know, that just seemed totally foreign and communist.
Yeah, the message is you can still demonstrate, but inside a cage with men in black samurai armor that have deadly weapons and may kill you. And so now we see anti-war demonstrations. I mean, let's go back to the start of the Gulf War. The second round in 1991 was the first one. The second one was in 2003. Now almost 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, back then, before they really were rolling out all this, less lethal, quote, truly is lethal systems, you would get hundreds of thousands of people out in anti-war marches. But the cops beat the hell out of them, tasered them, ran them over with mopeds, horses, rubber bulleted them, in some cases killed people with rubber bullets. And so now you go out and there's a few thousand people, but only about 45% of the population in major polls was against the Iraq war in 2003, but millions would come out total, hundreds of thousands per demonstration. Now, you've got 80%+ against the war, but only a few thousand. And that's because people are scared. And you said, Matt, you were scared, and they tell them to sit there and have dirty looks on their faces, to not talk to you, to be on this power trip. Again, us against them mentality. And so this is all being war-gamed in a wider laboratory. And the feds admit that. This is all being studied as a laboratory on how to control populations. And so the cops think that they're, quote, kicking the butt of the stupid demonstrators. Remember the famous video from Miami a few years ago where they're rubber bulleting and attacking the peaceful crowd, just saying you're not allowed to demonstrate, period? And then that real estate lady is in the red and black suit, all clean cut. She's got the sign out in front of her face, and they rubber bullet her in the face and bloody her face. And then it shows the commander later going, "Man, I loved how you shot that dumb bitch in the face. Well, that was really funny." And they all laugh. See, but it's going to be funny when you lose your house. It's going to be funny when your grandma loses their house. It's going to be funny when the dollar's totally debased. It's going to be funny if we go into a nuclear war with Russia. It's going to be funny, as you're going to be slaves too. Do you understand? Rubber bulleting a peaceful woman in the face isn't funny. Comments on that, Matt and Kyle?
Well, I want to say, first of the cops that do this, it's just like, okay, let's say that their grandma is out shopping in somewhere where a protest is going on. They just happen to be in the vicinity. What happens if some other cop in some other town blasts their grandma in the face? What, are they going to get mad about it? I mean, seriously,
they're not going to get mad.
It's ridiculous.
They don't even know their grandma, and as soon as they can, they're going to stick her in a nursing home to get her money. So
yeah,
maybe they'd ask the cops to kill their grandmother.
Yeah, you're probably right. I there is one other observation that I think may be important. You'd be a better judge of this than I, but I noticed that there was some press that had gas masks with them. They were carrying gas masks with them, so they must have thought that people were going to be getting gassed. I thought that was a little bit odd why official looking media types, and I'm not sure what news organization they were with. I just noticed that there was some guys, you know, in a monkey suit with
a
tie.
they've been taking those with them since 99 in Seattle. Okay. With that staged event. But see, after you stage a few events, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The feds have been caught staging it. They've been caught staging it in the U.S., Canada, England, Australia, Italy. But now it doesn't matter whether it's the United States or Russia. The same brand of tyranny is coming out where they go after protesters in every case.
I do want to say this, too. I said this to you off air, but just for the listeners, I forget his name all of a sudden. I want to say it's Adam from Denver, We Are Change. He actually came up, and there might be a really good Fox News interview with him because he got in a lot of really good points. It was the same guy that all the anarchists were cussing at the DNC, coincidentally. But... I just forgot what point
I was. The same Fox News reporter that had all the anarchists screaming and cussing and flipping him off interviewed We Are Change Colorado.
Yep, and he got in a really good interview. I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to cut it up and mash it up to make him look stupid, but I think it's going to be a difficult task, so we'll see. I did see one other guy taping it, so maybe we'll get lucky and see that on YouTube, hopefully.
What are you guys mainly doing while you're out there?
We came up, and that was pretty much the first thing we did, besides get a bite to eat, was go right to the protest, and it was just kind of, it was just kind of a learning experience for me, you know, getting to see all the, you know, the Minnesota We Are Change guys. You know, I guess I kind of look at them like veterans as far as activism going on. So I was just kind of sit back and taking everything in. I was just really in awe. I do want to say also that it was at the rally, there was just so many, it just seemed like everyone was against the war. Like, I hardly saw anyone there who was even for it. It was just like, you would think that, you know, I've heard you mention that, you know, 80-90% of the people are against the war. After what I've seen today, I would definitely believe that. That's for sure. I just, one thing I wish is just if everyone would be kind of on the same page. All the Obamites, which blows my mind that they're even for him, considering he voted for the war. And they're anti-war, but...
And for warrantless wiretapping.
Yeah, no one ever accused them of thinking. They don't even know what change means.
I hear you guys. I appreciate you spending time with us today. And pop back in with us if you see any other big developments.
Sure.
Take care. I wanted to just get out here today that I am going to kind of recap everything that happened with Michelle Malkin. And I also want to recap what happened in Denver now that I'm finally back in my studio. I could have done that Sunday, but there were so many new, big, important developments concerning Russian, EU, U.S., global relations that I had Richard C. Cook and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on Sunday. We'll also take a lot of your phone calls today. I was meaning to come back in the second segment of the show and talk about what I'd witnessed via television, because I'm not there. I'm back in Austin, Texas with my family. But what I'd witnessed over the computer and over television in Minneapolis, St. Paul for the RNC, and then since there was some We Are Change guys up there visiting in studio, I thought we'd have them on. We did have them on for about 30 minutes. We have Mike Rivero joining us in about 15, and we're going to open the phones up later in the next hour. On any issue you want to talk about, the anthrax case, which even the mainstream media has said is a cover-up, the Russia situation that's deteriorating, some good signs, but more bad signs, good signs the EU is not putting grievous sanctions on Russia that would truly escalate things, bad because the U.S. is shipping in more weapons into Georgia, and the Georgian president, Shashvili, has said that he's planning to launch another attack into Ossetia and Abkhazia. Just amazing provocations. We also have a lot of medical news here. Last week, I guess it was last Sunday's show. I know it was over a week ago. I just mentioned a Reuters report, medical study, major medical study, double-blind medical study, of vaccines being seriously associated with diabetes. And I have really spent time studying this because so many people I know have diabetes. One in three, if you happen to be, quote, Hispanic. It's one in five if you're Anglo or black. One in three particularly affects the genetic makeup of Hispanics for some reason with their pancreas and their metabolic system. But hell, one in five is pretty bad for the gringos. But it is a scourge. And I drive up and down the roads here in Austin, South Lamar, South Congress. I see amputees in wheelchairs everywhere. I'll be walking in a store and see some amputee going in, well, you know, with fresh knobs, you know, fresh bandages, and I'll say, are you diabetic? And they'll go, yeah. And people say, people email me and say, oh, you know, you claim it's giving people diabetes. No, the medical reports are. And so this morning, I just Googled diabetes vaccines, and thousands of mainstream articles and studies popped up. And I am just four of those to Kurt Nemo and Steve Watson and Paul Watson. That's all I had time to do was grab four of them from Reuters and the British Medical Journal and stuff going back 8-9 years. I mean, I didn't just run into Reuters a week and a half ago. I ran into all the others, and it was like every vaccine, you know, hepatitis shot. The hepatitis vaccine, the HPV shot is the newest one. And it causes a inflammatory response in the pancreas, and it fries your pancreas. And then you get diabetes, and then you die. And you go blind, you run off the highway, your life is hellish. And sure, you can quit eating as much sugar and try to control it, but it still is going to take a lot of years off your life. Vaccines are a scourge. Crohn's disease is a cover name for thousands of different reactions with vaccines. That's been proven in thousands of studies. Absolute fact. Autism, from 1 in 25,000 two decades ago to 1 in 86. That's right, from... 1 in 168 to 1 in 86. Yo, just pull those numbers up for yourself. That's official government numbers. We have scourges all around us. The GMO is doing the same thing. We've also caught the globalist where they'll put multiple things into the food chain knowing that they'll combine and have that effect. I was on the stair stepper yesterday for like an hour watching cable, and I was watching, I watched an hour of Batman Returns, or the first Batman movie that came out in the early 90s. And I turn it on. I'm flipping through the channels. Only time I watch entertainment TV is when I'm working out. And I'm flipping through, and it's the Penguin. And he's got this other crime boss getting him to run for mayor. And he says, we got to stage terror attacks like the Gulf of Tonkin or Reichstag. And so the Penguin has his men go out and blow up buildings. And then they blame it on the mayor and Batman. And, of course, the public buys it. And then there's another part of the movie where they have multiple cosmetics that you then mix together that makes the people have the illness that then the drug company sells you. I mean, they love throwing this in our face. I mean, I can't even turn on HBO on the stair stepper. It's just everywhere. Now you can say, is that movie trying to warn you? Are those Hollywood people trying to show you that they're on the inside? Is it conditioning? You know, sometimes it's either or, sometimes it's both. Point is, this isn't a Batman movie. You give your child those shots, they're filled with cancer viruses, mercury, and they attack every gland and organ in the body. I mean, you want a brain tumor? You want to die? Go ahead and take it. Keep laughing. You too, cops. Keep laughing. Posted one
man, I'm tired of, you
of the
understand you, man.
One of the stories. No, he did post them all. They're just separate. Here's one flashback: hepatitis B vaccine linked to diabetes. That's one report, and then there's an. Bottom line, I sent them four reports today. Cancer vaccine linked to pancreatics. Pancreatitis. We see if he posted all three or all four of them. It doesn't matter. The point is, every vaccine in double-blind studies where it has been studied for an increase in diabetes, there is one. Just like there are tens of thousands of studies, because they've been doing studies on it for over 100 years, because naturally occurring sodium and stannous fluoride, along with calcium fluoride, would get into water supplies and well supplies, and they would wonder in towns in China and Russia and the United States and England and all over the planet why half the children would be brain damaged, or why everybody was getting bone cancer or dying or being mentally retarded. And they found out real fast over 100 years ago that any type of fluoride, but especially sodium, in levels higher than a few parts per billion, attacks every gland and every bone in your body. And the Russians, by the 30s in their work camps, learned how to put it in the water to make people be docile. And that's in Pulitzer Prize-winning books. Then the Germans picked it up in the 40s, and there's a Pulitzer Prize-winning book on World War II that covers it. And guess what happened? By 1950, we had the national security state set up in 47, and the feds came in with multi-million dollar programs and said, put this in your water. And congressmen came out and read the wartime reports on the Nazis using it, and the media would laugh at them and call them kooks. And they put it in the water, and America stopped caring. But America also started learning how to bury their boys at hundreds of times the previous frequency for rare bone tumors, bone cancer, which, of course, just type in fluoride bone cancer, and you will read thousands of studies on that alone. I mean, is it fun sticking your boy in the ground? Is it like a goody-goody gun drop for you or something, you sick freaks out there? But I understand. You have to continue to say I'm lying. You have to continue to deny what I'm saying is true. You have to continue to say I'm making this stuff up, because if you admit what I'm saying is true, or if you even look into it, it's going to get scary, isn't it? To find out I'm telling the truth, to find out it's not made up. So, maybe, just maybe, you'll just still call me a piece of filth, a piece of trash, but at least go look into what I'm claiming and what I'm saying. Please, I'm begging you. Please do your own research.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Today is one of those days, more and more days, unfortunately, are like this, where there's so much to cover, I don't even know where to start. But with us for the next hour plus is Mike Rivero, the new and improved WhatReallyHappened.com commandant. I mean, he's always been the guy that runs it and started it. My point is, it's the site itself's been redone very nice. We're going to have him with us here in just a few minutes to talk about a host of issues: Russia, the economy, the demonstrations, the anarchists, Michelle Malkin. Michelle Malkin's people have found a list of my affiliates and are calling up trying to get stations to dump the show, saying I said murder her. Doesn't matter if the Dallas Morning News is retracted. They just don't stop. Mark Davis is still on the radio on WBAP. He fills in for Rush Limbaugh, saying I said killer, just making me suing. These guys get a view of invincibility. See, I have the opposite view. I know how weak I am and how human and mortal I am, and I'm looking at myself in a camera shot right now. We go live later on PrisonPlanet.tv, and I just look like hell. I know this body will fail. I wonder how some people get more power and they become more humble. And then other people get a little bit of power and just become power mad. Before we go to Mike Rivero, I want all of you to visit PrisonPlanet.tv, because now you can watch Fabled Enemies that Mike Rivero is in. By the way, one of our experts on the government anthrax attacks, on the Israeli connection to 9/11. Continuity of government, COG, implemented, put into place that day. Who carried out the attacks, how they carried it out. And it's in super high quality. I mean, if you're going to watch a film, you might online, you might as well watch it in super high quality. It's almost DVD quality. We also have a DivX version. You can, very small file, but high quality. You can burn to normal disc, normal CDs, and play on most DVD players. And that's the whole point. We're going to put up the interview we did with the founder of Rage Against the Machine tonight for PrisonPlanet.tv members, where he talks about government-sponsored terrorism. And instead of watching it, you know, cruddy on some other website, you'll see it there in high quality, 15 cents a day. And it supports us and makes this show possible. And we're going to post the Dr. Corsi interview. We're going to post the Ralph Nader interview. And we're going to post, I might even post a little bit of stuff we did with Sean Penn and the Brolin actor, one of my favorites, playing the part of W. There's so many interviews here. In fact, I've got them all putting that up first for PrisonPlanet.tv members instead of making a mini documentary showing what Michelle Malkin did from start to finish and how they tried to set us up. Really, I should suspend them putting up all those other videos and have them do that first, because I'm still having to explain to people that this was a setup, and I'll do that later. It's just, is there nothing we can't be made to believe? No level of bull. But in closing, before we come back in the next segment, bring up Michael Rivero, Fabled Enemies is out on DVD right now. You can order it at Infowars.com. Everybody that pre-ordered your DVDs are shipping out today. It's a two-hour film, or just shy of it, with an hour and a half of extras, all on one DVD. But really, it's two films in one, $19.95, and it's important to have hard copies of these. It's important to make copies of the hard copies for educational, nonprofit, educational purposes. But you can also, again, download it. There's like, I don't know, eight different formats or something, from super high quality to medium quality, different formats. What is it, like four different formats and two different versions of four formats? So I guess eight different ways to get it. PrisonPlanet.tv. Fabled Enemies is out right now. You can also get Fabled Enemies with Truth Rising. You get Truth Rising for only $9.95, or Loose Change Final Cut for $9.95. at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. This film will not be seen, will not be big, unless you get it and get it out to folks. And I'm counting on you. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I'm not going to belabor it anymore. Just bottom line, Fabled Enemies, the new film, is available at PrisonPlanet.tv and also at InfoWars.com if you want a hard copy of the film. And the DVDs just came in. We'll be shipping them out to everybody, including Mike Rivero, who is on the line right now, fellow Genesis talk show host, an investigative journalist, also a animation expert for some of the biggest movies and TV shows out there. And we're always honored to have him here with us, one of the listeners' favorite guests. Mike, so much is going on. Let me just ask you on air, what do you want to get into right now? The latest Russian developments, the latest economic developments, it's all intertwined. The new VP pick that we've got here, which I have to say actually has some good stuff in her pedigree. Independence Party in Alaska. AIPAC doesn't like her. That's a big plus, but it doesn't matter. We know McCain's pure evil, so he's just picking her for a fresh face. We've also got the police going hog wild in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but not in Denver. That's kind of the field out there. The latest anthrax info, which you're really on top of. The only time in 200-plus years the sun has been spotless. Now the environmentalists are saying we need a global tax to stop freezing, knowing the idiot public doesn't remember last week when they said it was heating. I mean, that's kind of the field. What do you want to cover first, Mike?
Well, there is so much going on there, and perhaps we should start with the last one first, because that's a fairly short issue. It's basically the classic government pattern of creating a problem and then selling you the solution to it. Whether it's global warming, we'll sell you a solution to that. Global cooling, we'll sell you a solution to that. The sky is falling, we'll sell you a solution to that. The sun doesn't have any spots, we'll sell you a solution to that. And it just goes on and on and on, because government really has run out of useful things that they can sell to the taxpayers. So now it survives by creating problems that we have to deal with. One recent example, of course, is the no-fly list, which we know has 99.99999%, false positive names on there. Very few real terrorists on the name on the list, but once you're on there, it makes it very difficult to travel. The courts have now ruled you can have your name removed from that list, but you must hire a lawyer to do it. And so this whole no-fly list thing that was supposed to be saving us from terrorists has turned into a jobs program for lawyers.
And they're saying, but if you do Trusted Traveler and go through our system, we will certify you, and so you waive your rights to something even more intrusive. So basically now you need a background check and be government certified to be able to travel. And I saw Governor Ridge, when he was head of Homeland Security, say on C-SPAN, then it's going to be government certified to have a job. So it's going to be a new class certification that doesn't even have criminal material in it. It's just, can you get a certification from the government?
Yeah, it really is that, and it's very dangerous, and it's tied in with this national ID, and they're trying to sell it as the cure for illegal aliens. But the bottom line is, as we have learned with the military records that follow our soldiers after they sever from military service, there are codes in there about personal behavior that have a direct impact on whether or not you are able to get a job in the future. And I don't know about you, I don't want the government basically keeping a permanent record on things I did as a teenager that are going to affect whether or not I can get a job here now that I'm 50.
Well, I've had a lot of these cronies who have blogs and websites who are former government staffers or military people, and they've point blank, I've been at events, they've said, yeah, Jones, I know the system's evil, and that's why I serve it, and you're going to end up going to a camp, you un-American bastard. So it's like doublethink. They admit it's evil and tyrannical, but laugh and say, I'm part of it. I'm part of the structure, and you're an American. I mean, these are really, because they know they're being tracked and traced, and they love it being on their record that they're an evil piece of crap.
Well, you know, it's basically I'm on the winning team, and that's all that really matters. And unfortunately, of course, that's how Hitler suckered in a lot of Germany's infrastructure to support him. You know, we're not doing things that are necessarily ethically or morally right, but we're going to be the winning team, and we've got the cool uniforms and badges and stuff, so sign up with us, and you'll look really cool to your neighbors, which worked for a while, but of course it never lasts for very, very long. Now, getting on to Sarah Palin, this is turning into a major embarrassment for the McCain campaign because, you know, my understanding is that McCain was still pushing for Joe Lieberman up to just about a week ago, and the GOP leadership said we're not going to go with Joe Lieberman. The Israeli aspect of it and the fact that he switched parties are both negatives that are going to really work.
And by the way, that's not your opinion. The Jerusalem Post, Ynet News, they're basically now saying that John McCain's an anti-Semite because he didn't let Israel basically be the vice president.
Yeah, that's basically it. So now, McCain seems to have picked Sarah Palin in a moment of pique, his famous anger coming back and saying, well, if I can't have Joe, I'm going to go with the hot babe up in Alaska. And he justified it saying, we're going to get all those disaffected Hillary voters who thought Hillary should be the VP. Well, now we've got a woman VP and they'll come over to us. Unfortunately, he could not have picked a more self-destructive choice to try and woo the disaffected Hillary voters than an ex-beauty queen, you know, who basically, she's got so much baggage she's carrying in. There's Troopergate, which is the really big scandal because it proves that she is willing to use her political power for personal petty vindictiveness. And, you know, that's okay for small-town politics, but we cannot afford to have that on the national stage.
But that fits right in with McCain's MO.
Yeah, it may, but, you know, the voters are not going to go for that because we've seen 8 years of Bush and Cheney using their political power. I mean, we saw the last vice president shoot a guy with a shotgun and then force the shooting victim to apologize on TV. We don't need another vice president with that kind of godlike delusions of power.
Yeah.
And really, for this woman to come onto the ticket, I think McCain really cratered himself with women voters, and he really cratered himself, you know, with this situation with Troopergate.
Have you seen them try to spin
her honesty?
Hey, Mike, have you seen them try to spin that she's really a general? Have you seen that new headline? They're going, well, she's really a general because she commanded the National Guard, and she's been to Iraq. Have you seen that, where they're calling her
now? Oh, yeah, and they're trying so hard to puff her up because there's so much negative stuff coming up about her. This latest spin on the baby issue, that her daughter is pregnant now instead of having been pregnant last year, you know, is obviously an attempt to obfuscate a question, an issue that raises a lot of questions. And my perspective is, you know, I agree with Obama. We don't go after the children, but this issue of the pregnancy calls into question Sarah Palin's character. And together with Troopergate, you know, we have to ask some very difficult questions about this new candidate. And remember, in this post-Iraq war, when we the people know the government lies to us all the time, the burden of proof is on anybody seeking office to prove they are honest and trustworthy, and Sarah Palin fails to come up to that measure.
But compared to Joe Biden corruption, and again, I'm not weighing in for either one of them, but while we're analyzing these puppets, I mean, sure, she's got some skeletons in the old closet, but Joe Biden is the king daddy of corruption and backroom, smoky room deals, and you've got all these communist sympathizers and land scams and weathermen running around in the background of Obama's past, and then you've got McCain, the Keating Five, and the mob boss wife, and I mean, they're just all a bunch of crooks, and so her...
They really are. There is nobody in the race that is really an honorable person, but, you know, it's, once again, we're faced with having to pick the lesser of two evils, and it's a darn stupid way to run a country, if you ask me.
Well, what about some of the positives, that she was part of the Independence Party to, you know, get out of the United States and set up their own country up there? I like that. And I like that party itself. They're anti-New World Order folks. She's been pro-Buchanan in the past, showing that she's not pro-war. I know currently she is.
Right there is the issue. She flips and flops a lot, and we're seeing a lot of indications that she will get involved in movements and issues basically to suit her own political expediency at the time, and it's not a matter of deep commitment. The Bridge to Nowhere project, she was on both sides of that.
No, she was for it at first and then against it.
And then against it, and there have been a lot of issues like that. She's a politician. She sees which way the majority of people are going. That's what she's going to do. And, you know, this is a person who is operating on a basis of political expediency rather than showing any kind of true leadership. And now we have this issue where people are now realizing that in her governor's office, she had a flag of Israel. And so these ideas that she was not a friend of Israel and that she was the alternative to Joe Lieberman for that very reason, that's gone out the window.
Oh, you think that's some type of elaborate disinfo because the military and the American people are worried about too big of an Israeli influence, kind of like the Red Menace, now the Israeli Menace. You're saying that whole thing with attacks in Jerusalem Post and Haaretz and Ynet may just be me thinks you protest too much, or...
Yeah, I think it may well be. The bottom line is that Israel and AIPAC like to have candidates on all sides of the contest, so it doesn't matter who the voters vote for, Israel will still win. And I think one of the reasons they're afraid of Obama is that even though as he moves center, he makes all the correct political statements about support for Israel and reigning in Iran and everything, but I think careful analysis has concluded that whereas both candidates are saying the same thing, McCain would actually be enthusiastic about it, and Obama considerably less so.
Okay.
And it's a very...
Okay, because that's what I'm hearing from Paul Craig Roberts and Richard C. Cook and yourself and so many others that I really respect are saying Obama is better. I just can't make myself wade in again and pull a lever for two parties I know are bought and paid for and all part of a one-party dictatorship. When we come back, Mike, A, am I right in saying you're saying lesser of two weevils, Barack Obama, Joe Biden? And if I am correct in that that's what you're saying, tell me why. You're saying, looking at the subtleties, tell us those subtleties on the other side. He's a great political mind. He's my mother's favorite person we have on air. She listens in Austin. Mommy, my wife likes listening to him, too, so... That's how we've got him here. Mike Rivero, stay with us.
On a long, lonesome highway east of Omaha, listen to the engine moaning out his one old song.
We are
think about
examining the produce here,
really knew the night,
looking at Joe Biden compared to John McCain's little sweetheart.
Will soon be wandering the way they always do.
Mike Rivero, are you saying that you think the Obama ticket is better than the McCain ticket?
Marginally, I believe that it is. Now, I understand your concerns about Biden, and I share them. But Obama is a young man, and absent an act of violence, Biden is not going to get into that Oval Office. With the McCain ticket, with his health situations, I mean, we have to judge Sarah Palin not just as a potential vice president, but as a potential president as well. And that is where the hair really goes up on the back of my neck. Now, before we went to the break, you were talking about how members of your family like to listen to Barack Obama. And in this, he does
no,
have...
No, I was saying listen to you.
Oh, me. Well, I'm not.
Yeah, I was saying we've got Mike Rivero here because my whole family says we love it when you have Mike Rivero on. My uncle says it. My wife, my mom. I'm saying my family, because that's about all I hang out with is my family. I'm just saying they all like you, Mike. But go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, tell them all the checks are in the mail. So anyway, getting back to Barack Obama, one thing that he has that I see as a plus. Right now, as you are well aware, our nation is in such serious trouble. It is just amazing. And I think McCain being Bush light, people are seeing him as, you know, more of the same, and it's very discouraging. If McCain wins, we really cannot expect to see much in the way of change. And with Barack Obama, the one thing that he does when he speaks, he has the ability to make people feel that change is possible. And right now, that is something that has to happen.
So you're saying things are so bad, you want a puppet that people can actually believe in because we have nothing left. I mean, that is really...
Well, what I'm saying is we're not going to get any change at all unless the American people feel it's possible and from there are willing to move to make it happen. I think if McCain gets in, we're going to see this nation just drift into this incredible torpor where everybody's going to think things are so screwed up and there's no chance of making it any better that we're going to see ourselves become like the Soviet Union was just before its collapse.
Yeah, but I think
everybody's
that's good.
Drunk and nobody's trying.
Mike, I'm not weighing on either side because I can't morally make a decision here, but I understand the perspective you've got. But what if it's evil leadership, and because it visibly looks like change, they'll be able to fool people into greater levels of tyranny. And every indicator is the baton is going to be passed flawlessly from the shadow government of George W. Bush to the camp that controls Obama. And so I really don't see any difference there. And I say worse is better. You're always saying that. Make a dictator act like a dictator. Why not go ahead and totally discredit the government? I mean, don't we want this to be brought down, not continue?
Well, no, I agree with you, but it's a question of timing. And I mean, looking at November, okay, absent a violent revolution, we're going to be choosing between McCain and Obama. And I will agree that the difference between them seems less and less as time goes on.
So you're saying this is an academic analysis?
Well, it's more of an academic analysis because I don't think the American people are ready for a violent revolution. And I'm not going to cheer one on just yet. So if we set that aside, if we set the possibility of violent change aside, and I know the Ron Paul people are going to hate me for this, and I wish he had a chance at the White House, but practically he does not. So we have to decide if we're going to go with Barack Obama or with John McCain. Now, if you want to go with John McCain because you think it'll bring down about the demise of our current government that much faster, I understand that point, and there is merit in there. But I'm also looking at the point of view of your ordinary average working class American who's trying to find a way out of this mess that we're in without, you know, being willing to take up arms at this point. And I think if you're in that kind of a context, you know, Obama, again, it's a marginal thing. It is only a small, you know, marginal difference.
No, I see what you're saying. I mean, the whole system is in danger of completely collapsing. So we don't love the building we're in. But we don't want it to fall on top of us. So you're saying you think Barack Obama might buy us some time before the whole structure collapses?
I think Obama can pull us back a little bit from the edge of the cliff. And McCain, I think, is going to drive us right over.
Okay, well, we'll flesh that out with any other comments you've got on that subject. Then the Russian developments, some good stuff and some bad stuff, dealing with escalation has happened. The economy, anthrax, Michelle Malkin, I want to talk a little bit about that. I haven't talked about that since I got back. Mike Rivero is our guest. Your call's coming up as well at 800-259-9231.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end.
You know, it's been more than 10 days since I sat in this studio. I feel like I'm just now learning how to ride a bicycle again.
I'll never look into your eyes again.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. The new film, Fabled Enemies, did drop yesterday. Actually, Sunday night on DVD. You can order it at Infowars.com. Mike Rivero is in it. Gets into who carried out the attacks, how they carried out the attacks. Covers a lot of information that is a bit more complex than just the controlled demolition or things like that that other films have covered. Available at Infowars.com or watch it in super high quality right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, the reason to be a PrisonPlanet.tv member is just the activism alone. All 19 of the films I've made, including Truth Rising, and then the one I just produced, the 20th film, which is Fabled Enemies that Jason Burmes directed, he made with Aaron and Rob here at my office. It's all available in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv, and you can burn it to disk, share it with friends and family and neighbors. And if you're going to spend 2 hours of your time, might as well watch it in high quality rather than waiting and seeing some cruddy copy online. Or get the best quality, the DVD, at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. I should have asked Mike this during the break, but I'll ask him on air. Mike, I know you got a busy schedule today, but you want to stay 20, 30 minutes in the next hour so we have time to take calls then?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. All right, there's a lot more to cover. Let's get into Russia right now. Or do you want to first talk about the protests, since that, in a way, is connected kind of as an addendum to our discussion of Barack Obama and John McCain and those two camps? Yeah, let's go ahead and get into the demonstrations and the police response from Denver versus what happened or and is happening in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Then we'll get into Russia and then the economy.
Well, my observation about the protests in the two cities, I am of the opinion that what you experienced in Denver, and we all know it was a setup, it was a staged provocation to try and kick up a fuss. I am of the opinion that the Recreate 68 and other groups like them were trying to get a violent reaction going to the Democratic convention, basically to set the stage for what is happening at the GOP convention now, so that when we see these police state tactics going on in Minneapolis, they can say, well, look, we had to do the same thing down in Denver with the Democrats. That failed to materialize. All these groups that were trying to get violent protesters going against the Democratic convention, they failed to get any traction. And as a result, I mean, when we saw the wide views of the so-called protesters in front of the Democratic convention, it was really not a very, very large crowd at all, and there were very few incidents down there. And as you yourself experienced, the incidents were being manufactured. They were trying to provoke a confrontation, to make an issue that they could basically take to the media and say, oh, look at the Democratic protesters, blah, 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 so that when we get into this week, they can say, well, the Republican protesters, it's just more of the same. Instead, of course, we have, you know, some very well-organized and very sincere protest against the GOP party. Mostly it's against the war is what it's really about. It's not really all that partisan, but it's against the war, and it's against the people that are seen as supporting the war and urging for more war. And already we're seeing all these police tactics. People are getting arrested. Amy Goodman got harassed.
And it's the same story. It's the same story. We have the anarchists breaking off to go in their own direction, and it sounds legitimate. Hey, you shouldn't have to stay in these cages. And then the police attack them and then attack AP reporters, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, go out of their way. They go out of their way to go after mainline groups. I mean, do you think the police are part of this, or are they being played?
Oh, it's a combination of the two, because remember, the FBI not only has informants inside college campuses and protest groups, they have informants inside police departments and TV shows and, you know, large companies. You know, the network is all pervasive. And yes, there will be people, you know, I'm back in Los Angeles, I knew some people who were police officers who had links, you know, to the CIA. And they would be in there urging the police departments to basically go in the direction the CIA wanted. And the people who were not part of the intelligence network didn't understand why they were going a particular direction, but orders are orders are orders. So yes, the police are being put into play for political purposes, and a clear indicator of that is this so-called probable cause hold, which is a way to be able to grab people and lock them up for 36 hours without actually charging them with anything, and basically gets them away from whatever wherever the news cameras are.
Yeah, that's a violation. That's kidnapping. That's false imprisonment, but they've now given it a nice little term.
Yeah, they have, and they've made it legal to do, and it's all part of this whole Patriot Act situation where the government can now grab you and lock you up without a trial and basically throw away the key. And if that is not an indicator that we are in a dictatorship now, I don't know what is.
And by the way, in 36 hours, they can extract whatever type of confession they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think they're waterboarding anybody up there at Minneapolis, but in a hypothetical.
It sets the precedent.
Yeah, it sets the precedent, and there are all kinds of coercive tactics. You know, they could tase you a couple of times, and after that, you know, you're going to get nervous just looking at a battery.
Well, what they did in Denver, and this has been confirmed out at that little secret prison that we went out and covered, is they would tell them, you're being charged with felonies unless you plead guilty and bond out yourself. And so they were playing that trick on them. So that's a form of psychological warfare.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Plus, what it does is it plants a police record on these people who haven't actually done anything wrong by tricking them into pleading guilty. I mean, the FBI is known for all kinds of coercive tactics where they'll put you in a room full of photos of bloody bodies and said, your associates are doing this and you've got to testify against them. And we saw all kinds of stuff like that down at the Oklahoma City bombing where they were basically just, you know, locking Tim McVeigh's family in these rooms with all these pictures of the bloody bodies and saying, you know, Tim did it, you know, you've got to go out there and tell the media that you're really sorry your brother did this, and just all kinds of tactics like that.
Amazing. Or the FBI asking the Davidians if they had fire extinguishers and say, well, get ready for a fire, just openly letting them know they were going to murder them. It really takes a cold heart to kill those children, but I guess being the winner is all that matters. Being on the winning team.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. And asking the Branch Davidians if they had fire extinguishers was a good way to get the word fire on the bug tapes by the Branch Davidians for later on editing.
Because then they'd say, well, no, there's not going to be a fire. Why are you saying that? And then you hear them splice the same, and then they've done the audio test, folks. That's right. They then could take that and splice it in. Very, very nice. I wonder how those guys enjoy murdering little children. I guess it's all part of being tough.
Well, you know, there was this interesting video that came out of one of the Waco documentaries where the guys in the just had a real good time toasting those people. There are a certain mindset of people who can do that kind of thing easily, and governments are always going to find and recruit them to do their dirty work. And unfortunately, they're not somebody I'd want to ever have in my house. But they do exist in our society. The government gets them and encourages them and says, yes, there's the good guys and there's the bad guys, and the bad guys can look like children, but they're still bad guys, and you go kill them, and God will love you, and the president will pin medals on you.
And a lot of these psychos actually believe they're good guys. I mean, they get off on
the... They don't see themselves as villains. They're fighting in a noble cause, or even worse, and we've got this thing that George Bush started, God told me to go invade Iraq, and they're trying really hard to say this is all God's will, that we're doing all this stuff. I just put up a story on my website about 10 minutes ago where Sarah Palin, in talking to the church where she attended church, called Iraq God's will and said it's a messianic mission that we go over and we carry out God's will in Iraq. And, you know, this is dangerous when you have these people, you know, with their fingers on the weapons and the nuclear bombs, and they honestly believe that if they can kick off World War III, God's going to come down and invite them up to the big house after it's all over.
Yeah, or Hail Bob Comet.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it's basically the same thing, and I'm sick of it. Of course, these cold-blooded politicians like Palin and McCain and all of them, or the Democrats doing those weird prayers there. I mean, they are cold-bloodedly manipulating Christians. That is all they're doing.
They absolutely are.
Is they are using it. It is cynical. And I would try to tell Republicans that, and they'd say, no, George Bush is of the Lord. And I'm like, no, he's got gay porn stars in there every night. And then finally they see Democrats do it, and they go, oh, that's fake.
Yeah, it's all about beliefs. Unfortunately, the average voter is still voting based on their beliefs and their shared cultural myths, and they don't want to look at the facts because the facts are very, very unpleasant.
All right, I want to get to the economy, get your take on that, and what's happening with Russia. Really serious news there, but let's just get this out of the way now. And that is Michelle Malkin. Folks,
obviously she's attempting to puff herself up at your expense. She knows you've got a huge audience and readership out there, and so she's probably relying on anybody who's going to Google Alex Jones is going to wind up seeing all these articles about Michelle Malkin was attacked by Alex Jones, and I think it's an indicator not only of a desire to try and reverse the trend of audience drift away from the corporate media to the alternative media and the blogosphere, but it's just outright demonization because they realize The American people know they've been lied to. The American people are turning away from the liars. They're going where they think they can find the truth. And that is obviously, you know, your radio show, my radio show, our various respective websites. And, you know, the numbers are inarguable. We are winning the war for the minds of Americans. And the corporate traditional media, they've hit the panic stage.
Well, that's the point I was going to make, is that here is this woman that says, put every Muslim in America in a camp, put anybody that disagrees with the government in a camp. She makes jokes about Abu Ghraib on television, writes about it, says I'm a liar. And she cold-bloodedly did that. Even after the mainstream news admitted that the Marines did kill the puppy off the cliff, throwing off the cliff, she chose, because she thought I was a kook, to attach that to the story and said I was a liar and made it up. Then she didn't retract after the Marines admitted it. Then she did all these other things, and I nicely walked over to her and said, why are you saying put all Americans in camps? And then her guy came up and started bumping into me, so I pushed him back. The point here is, first they said that I said killer. Then we learned I didn't say killer, and that people allied with her said killer. But the neocons don't care. They still run with the headlines. Alex Jones said kill Michelle Malkin. Alex Jones punched Michelle Malkin in the face. Alex Jones spit on Michelle Malkin. And, of course, it only further discredits them. And then now Mark Davis has had to retract it. They pulled it in the Dallas Morning News, but he still, on WBAP, gets up there and slanders me. And they're so accustomed to lying that they just think they can get away with it. But, I mean, think about it. She writes a book saying put innocents in camps, and then it's wrong for me, when her people have their hands on me, to yell at her. See, it's okay to say put people in camps and be for torture. Oh, that's nice and loving and sweet and good and mom and apple pie. But don't you yell at somebody. Don't you? I mean, how timid have we gotten when the founding fathers, and I'm not calling for this, by the way, in the committees of correspondence, in the, you know, the Sons of Liberty for 15 years before 1775, burned down police stations, hung people, tarred and feathered them. Your skin burn off, folks. Burn people's skin off. Killed them. You know, the founder, that's George Washington. But see, he's good, but Alex raising his voice at her is wrong, Mike.
Well, it's basically it's a double standard, and you know the opposition is not thinking in terms of fairness and justice or even the Constitution. It is we must win at all costs, and it's that kind of blind fanaticism. And unfortunately, as a society edges closer towards collapse, and I will agree with you, we're on that path. It's just a question of when. But you're going to see fanaticism start to rear its ugly head, and the reason is the people who sign up with a particular point of view. Once you go past a certain degree of abuse, once you support torture, once you think it's okay to waterboard people or throw people in jail just because they're Muslims, once you go past that point and you can't look at yourself for what you have supported, that's when you become just absolutely blind loyalty to the leader, because the leader must be right. Because if the leader is ever shown as wrong, then the follower is also shown to be wrong.
And that's
it.
And
we saw that happen in Germany, and Michelle Malkin is a clear symptom that we have reached that stage in this country.
No, Mike, you're absolutely right. In fact, you hit the nail directly on the head there. They have committed to this evil. They have endorsed it. They have underwritten it. They have supported it. They have vitriolically pushed it and preached it and pushed it on every front. And now it's coming out they tortured small children and raped them. Now it's coming out they were all innocent. Now it's coming out, and instead of hearing Alex Jones say, how dare you write this and say this, they have to scream bloody murder and say that I punched Michelle Malkin or said killer. They have to lie, because if they don't, they'll have to look themselves in the mirror. They want to forget about the dog and lying. They want to forget about making fun of Abu Ghraib. They want to forget about saying put all Muslims in camps. They want to move on, and we're not letting them move on, Mike, so they have to basically scream rape.
Yeah, they're basically our function. I see our function. We're holding all the dishonest people in government media to account for their dishonesties. We're exposing the lies, and you know, we've already succeeded because the average lifespan of a cover-up now is clocked with an egg timer, whereas back in the John F. Kennedy days, it was 33 years before the majority of Americans knew the truth there. And what we're really seeing, have you ever seen a small child with their fingers in their ears and their eyes shut tight, stamping their feet and saying, I don't see it, and I don't hear it, and you can't make me
Well, that's actually what Malkin
did.
That's
what Michelle Malkin was doing.
She physically did that. She covered her ears and turned her head. She looked like a five-year-old.
Yeah, that's exactly the mentality that they're at right now. I had a run in here with a local affiliate from one of the networks, and I won't say who because I still actually work for them from time to time, and I was trying to give her one of the deception dollars, and she literally was saying, I can't look at it. I can't. You know, it was like this, you know, psychological barrier here. I can't look at this because, then my whole worldview will shatter. And, I'll have to look at myself as being the prostitute that I am. And we've reached that stage. There's the denial is so strong, it is getting into violent reaction, violent rejection, violent refusal.
But don't they understand we're just going to be proven right over and over again? Our credibility is only going to rise as their implodes?
Well, they're probably still thinking that they can trick us and trap us into some embarrassing missteps, and they're trying real hard right now. They're feeding out a lot of stuff to try and embarrass the blogosphere and the alternative radio with. But yeah, in the long run, you and I have got track records stretched back for years, decades. And, you know, yes, we make occasional missteps, and we will, you know, retract, and we'll say, okay, we goofed, we got fed some bad information. But overall, we're not supporting a war based on lies. We are opposed to going into more wars on lies. We're definitely opposed to a whole new Cold War, because you and I are old enough to remember it's just a swindle. It's just wave Russians at the American taxpayer to get more money out of them.
Stay there. He's Mike Rivera. It's not America to write a book called The Case for Internment. Little piece of you. Little piece. There's also other idiotic camps that say I staged it all with Michelle Malkin. Do you have no discernment? Can you not look at that woman in torture at being shown up for who she was? You know, I walk up to her and say, hey, you wrote a book saying put all Muslims in camps and other people as well. And she just said, get out of my face, I'm working. And I said, no, I'm not leaving. So her thug came up, started bumping into me. So I pushed him off of me, but I still kept my distance from her. And then she would come over and get in my face if you watch the video. And that's where it's really screaming at her. And then she started crumpling like a tin can, you know, down to nothing. But regardless, you're not going to write books about putting people in camps and torturing people and destroying the liberties and freedoms we have without being confronted, without being screamed at. And the fact that that so many people have been so domesticated that they're comfortable with torturing children. They're comfortable with throwing dogs off cliffs. They're comfortable with destroying the Bill of Rights and Constitution, but you don't talk back to somebody when they're talking to you. You don't raise your voice at somebody that says end your country. Folks, we're never going to turn this country around if we don't get aggressive, if we continue to be gelded, to be neutered. Mike Rivera?
Absolutely. The one thing that we have to do is we have to realize it is our country. It doesn't belong to the corporations. It doesn't belong to the government. The government are our employees, and we have every right to stand up and say, you are lying to us. I will not believe you. I will not follow your directions and your orders because I do not trust you. And, you know, you need to get out there because when you speak out like that, you're going to give other people the courage to speak out, and that is how consensus is going to form.
Well, that's what they're scared of. That's what they're scared of. In fact, I've been meaning to make that point when I'm privately reflecting, and I always forget to make it on air. They're demonizing what I did and still coming after me everywhere because they're scared of you getting aggressive. They're scared of you calling them on the carpet and reading them the riot act. They're scared of you verbally indicting them for their crimes. They want to cow you. They're scared the phenomenon of the citizen journalists going out and confronting their abusers. Mike Rivera?
Yeah, absolutely. The U.S. government has belatedly realized that they have lost the trust and support of the American people. And, you know, they're trying to crush down the blogosphere. They're trying to basically shout down the alternative media. They're pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into propaganda campaigns, online activism, and activists and shills and public relations operatives. And also, I think that's a big reason for this sudden push to create a whole new Cold War with Russia is the planners in Washington realize the war on terror has fizzled as a means of scaring the American people into complicity.
By the way, so guess who sponsors Michelle Malkin and her ring of websites? Her main sponsor is the Department of Homeland Security. Go ahead.
Well, that is hardly surprising, and you know, one of the things you have to watch out for when you're looking out at the blogosphere and alternative media, if you're seeing a group that seems to have a lot of money, be very careful about the agenda they're pushing because somebody has bought and paid for that. Now, getting back to this thing with Russia, because I know you wanted to talk about it, I see our government as desperate to get back to what they see as the glory days of the 1950s and 1960s when all they had to do was wave Russians at us and American taxpayers would salute smartly and
stay
shovel
there.
Money
stay
at
there.
Them as fast
stay
as
there,
people.
Mike. Stay there, Mike Rivera, whatreallyhappened.com. We're going to come back, get into Russia, and then take your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. And yes, it's already being said that I am a Russian secret agent. I'm not going to plug these websites and news sites, but it's already being said because I'm against the sneak attack on Russia, and I'm sure they'll say it about Mike as well, that I am a Russian sleeper. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now we're getting into the really serious issues, the latest developments in Russia, what's happening with the economy. I have some very important police state news. Also, trichinosis. Hepatitis, drug-immune TB is spreading all over Texas where I live. It's the illegal aliens, ladies and gentlemen, just like the human feces in the fields. And we knew a year ago what was getting on the lettuce and things, and now the peppers, and now it's admitted it's Mexico. And I'm not against the Mexican migrants. I just don't want to catch trichinosis. And you know, people coming here 100 years ago had to go to Ellis Island and, you know, be cured before they could come in. The point is the government says give up all your rights, terrorists are going to get you. Meanwhile, we have diseases spreading everywhere. The whole country's falling apart. The New York Times is reporting they're getting ready to actually hand whole city infrastructures over, not just the roads, but the city operations to private corporations. I want to talk to Mike about that. And I know we got loaded phone calls. Peggy, John, Helen, Robert, Jason in the UK, and others, we're going to get to you. Hell, I'll try to keep Mike the whole hour if he can do it. Mike Rivera, whatreallyhappened.com. We just love him. Okay, Mike, you're getting into Russia. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting into Russia. Now, this is really aimed at the younger listeners, and I am pleased to say that over the last several weeks, I have come to understand that the viewership, readership, listenership of the blogosphere and your show, my show, we are picking up a younger audience now. And that is so important because it's really the younger audience that needs to be paying attention to this stuff because they're going to inherit our failings. And, you know, this thing with Russia, the younger people don't remember what the Cold War was all about. And so let me give you a real brief history lesson. End of World War II. We had whipped the Japanese, and we had beat Hitler and all this really feel-good stuff. And all these huge defense contractors, these companies that made billions, trillions of dollars off the war, are all of a sudden looking at very, very lean times. And this is the group of people that Eisenhower, in his farewell address, termed the military-industrial complex. So Eisenhower tried to warn us. He was a general. He'd been in World War II. He saw what was going on. He tried to issue a warning. To our own distress, we ignored him. Now, end of World War II, Germany's gone, Japan is defeated, And all these defense contractors are saying, how do we keep the country on a war footing? How do we keep the money flowing to us? Well, we're going to go to our friends in Hollywood who made all those wonderful movies that demonized the Japanese and the Germans, and we'll just ask them to start making movies that demonize the Russians and maybe the Chinese as well. And all of a sudden, we've got a new enemy that we have to be preparing for war with. And we don't even have to really fight the war. That's the really cool thing about it. We'll just wave Russians at the American people, and they will keep on shoveling their money at us as hard as they can to save us from those bad old Russians. And it worked. And anybody who spoke out against it got hauled before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. They had their career destroyed. 400 people in Hollywood lost their careers for saying, wait a minute, there's no reason to make the Russians the bad guys here. They haven't done anything. And the military-industrial complex grew richer and richer, and the generals got to pin more medals on their chests, and the American people got taken for $5 trillion ride building up all this weaponry, which basically rusted and corroded away to nothing in those silos in the Midwest.
But the big intelligence apparatus is now being swung around against us. They wanted to launch that police state growth, the military-industrial complex owning the red light cameras, the police training, the face scanning systems, the databases. But since that's going kaput, like you said, they're now shifting it back to the Ruskies. But then if you study the bankers that own our country, they funded the Ruskies as well. Mike Rivero is our guest, whatreallyhappened.com. I'm Alex Jones. Our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.net, TruthNews.us. We're going to come back, let Mike finish up with that. And I've got all the latest news on Russia, but we've also got your phone calls coming up. We also want to cover the economy, and we will.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The new film, Fabled Enemies, is out. We want to see who really carried out the attacks, how the intelligence agencies combined forces and resources to do it, how continuity of government was used as the cover operation. Fabled Enemies available on DVD today at Infowars.com. No more pre-ordering. It is shipping. You can also watch it right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Mike Rivero is our guest. I will get to all of the callers here. He's with us for the rest of the hour. Always informative to have him spend a few hours with us once a month. Just my thoughts on the whole Russia situation. New York banks, British banks, openly funded the Bolsheviks to knock off Queen and King's cousins, the British royalty's cousins, that were running Russia. They brought them down. Then by the 30s, when Stalin took over, they lost control for a while, so they used Hitler to menace him. Then they double-crossed Hitler. This has all been declassified now. And brought the Soviets in. Then the West used the Soviet menace as an excuse to build up. The Soviets used the West as an excuse to build up when the same financial interest were financing both sides. And the Russian generals and KGB loved the false threat as much as the U.S. did. Now we see some different things happening, but on the front of the threat of nuclear war, it later was declassified that duck and cover wasn't really to keep you safe, to jump onto your table. It was to drive home and to personalize and localize the menace of the Soviet boogeyman about to nuke you any minute. And so if you're ducking and covering once a week at school and they're driving you in school buses down to the local parking garage for your nuclear fallout, you know, that is really making you hate these Ruskies that make you cower in fear once a day, you know, kind of the 5 minutes of hate. Well, it's the same thing with these bioterror chemical drills. It's about federalizing police. It's about trillions of dollars being conduited into defense contractors to run these drills. It's about creating the perception. And I've seen the feds in Belton, Texas, and many other places where I've physically been, tell the mayor to get up and announce, terrorists have hit Belton. They've killed hundreds. And they even blow up cars out in the parking lot, and citizens are saying, what's happening? And the cops walk over and say, just terrorists. And then at the end of the day or the next day, they announce it was just a drill. Kind of like we had fake bio attacks and nuclear spills here in Austin, and they even sprayed Austin cops with stuff and released something in the DPS and made the cops get sick. That was in 99, 2000. They had to terrorize their own people first before they could create the cadres that would go out and terrorize the rest of us. So whatever abuse we go through, we always see the military and the police getting the first helpings and the double helpings. So I bring that up to bring up the way they inculcate and localize the pathology and psychology of fear. Mike Rivero.
Yeah, absolutely agree. It's all about, you know, the main terrorist in the United States is the government itself. And, you know, years ago, back right after 9/11, I wrote an article in which I said, once a government starts using terror to control its own population, it can never stop. It becomes a political addiction. They must keep the people terrified all the time, because once the people calm down, once they start to think objectively, the falsity of it all starts coming through and they begin to realize they're being snookered. And the problem is, in order to keep up the level of terror, you have to keep coming up with something more and more and more. And that is why I am convinced that if the U.S. government tries a new false flag terror attack like 9/11, it's going to have to be something that hits all across the country. What you were saying about these bio war game simulations, they'll literally spray a couple of cities, probably with anthrax, because there's no runaway contagion with that, and we've already been brainwashed into thinking anthrax equals terrorist when it's actually a battlefield weapon. And, you know, if they try it, it's going to have to be that great. But the problem, again, is the population, you know, fear is very tiring. And after a while, you can't sustain the energy to stay afraid. And when that fear wears off, when you can no longer be made afraid, no matter how big a boogeyman is, that's when the people will start saying, okay, who's really been doing this to us? Who's been making us afraid all the time? It isn't Osama bin Laden. We haven't seen him in years. He's dead. It's the media. It's the government that's constantly trying to keep us afraid so that we will run to them for protection with our cash in our hands, our children in our hands, and say, here, take my money. Take the lives of my children. Just keep me safe from the boogeyman you keep showing me.
Well, again, Mike, you spell it out 110% as it is. Expanding on that theme of fear, not only do they get us focused on false fears that aren't based in reality or that are greatly exaggerated, real things like every major vaccine being conclusively connected to diabetes. And I've looked at the studies. Americans are eating the same amount of corn syrup that we were eating 15 years ago. So why then is diabetes going up? And then I went and looked, and sure enough, they've known for 20 years that vaccines are causing an autoimmune response that creates an infection in many glands, not just the pancreatitis, and that's the main thing causing it. And so there you have millions of people now a year getting it, hundreds of thousands dying, sawing arms and legs off. You've got millions of autistic children from the mercury, hundreds and hundreds of studies, thousands of studies that sodium fluoride is hurting people's glands, bones, brain, organs. You know, same thing with MBTE. They ordered in all the gasoline and infested 49 states. There is this eugenics agenda. I mean, you can't just say all of this is by accident, and then sure enough, you find documents where it isn't by accident. So it's not only are they terrorizing us with false threats to get control of us, these are some diabolical bastards. I mean, can you speak in your own study to what drives the New World Order, the social engineers, the social architects?
Well, I have a slightly different perspective than you do, Alex, and I say that because I'm not going to say which one of us is right, but I do have a slightly different perspective. Yes, there are some social engineering, population engineering projects afoot, but at least some of what we see is explained just by outright greed and a government that no longer is looking out for the interests of the ordinary citizen in their haste to placate the large corporations. And the reality is, under our current system, companies make a lot more profit off of products that are brand new and have never been done before. And because of market pressures, these get sold before they're really tested, and many of them are not tested at all. Artificial scent chemicals are, of course, a major, major problem because the FDA has declared that these artificial aroma chemicals are external and therefore don't need to be tested for efficacy and toxicity the way pharmaceuticals would be. But, of course, that's nonsense. If you're smelling the artificial aroma, then it's inside your sinuses, it's inside your lungs, it's crossing into the blood. And, you know, who knows what effect that they're having. We're seeing incredible recklessness with genetic engineering experiments because the rush is create a new product we can put a patent on and get it out in the marketplace.
Well, Mike, I totally agree that most of it's just pell-mell greediness. But the rationale is, since there's too many people anyways, and just screw them. So I'm saying they have that overarching attitude.
Yeah, I would agree with you that there is a tremendous disregard for individual health because the whole population, it is so large, it's viewed as a herd to be harvested, to be taken advantage of, to have wealth drawn from it, and there is this disconnect between the ultra-rich. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's not a new attitude because Andrew Carnegie personally believed that the ultra-rich were a completely separate species from the rest of humanity, kind of getting back to H.G. Wells.
No, it's social Darwinism. Yeah, the Eloi and the Morlock.
Yeah.
Social Darwinism, yeah.
And really did see them as two separate populations. He did not think that the poor should be educated beyond whatever was necessary for them to work in the factories or work in the fields. And this attitude does tend to pervade the upper levels of society.
Well, he funded modern education, and that's why we're now dumber than dirt.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, you find this attitude among the ultra-rich because they're looking for some kind of a justification why they should have lives of such wealth and yet so many other humans be poor. And they craft these ideas that somehow wealth is the sign of God's elect or wealth is the sign of superior genetics, anything so they can go on being greedy and take from the masses and say, this is the way it's supposed to be.
And they've control of Madison Avenue, what success is. It's not being an inventor or an explorer or somebody who had courage, social courage. It's some basketball player that acts like a gang member. And they've written about that, the social engineering. I mean, they're doing a masterful job. I mean, they've got, I think, more control over the situation than maybe you give them credit, Mike. And I respect you, and I agree with your worldview of how things work and who's in control. I'm just saying I've spent so much time in their own founding documents, which you clearly are aware of. You're quoting them here, that I see a method to their madness. I mean, I'm not saying they even control things. Like you said, they know how to steer things.
I would agree with you to a point, but do you know what the word epiphenomenon means?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, I think what we're seeing that appears to be a consciously directed global plan is really an epiphenomenon of overlapping instances of individual greed and avarice. And so it may be a function of a group mind or collective mind rather than a deliberately plotted out approach to world domination. But that, again, it's just a difference of opinion.
But there's clearly the captains of industry, though, in the Anglo-American system are all teamed up, and they're wanting to set up a global system. I mean,
there's no doubt that there is a plan to create a global economy, which I disagree with. I think it's a disaster if it's ever fully implemented.
But you're saying they really don't have global control right now.
No, I don't, and I think, in fact, that there's actually less control going on because they're spending all of their energy to squabble among themselves and faction fights among themselves, and I think the biggest proof that they're not as much in control is here in the United States, where we have seen this country go into debt. At the same time, we're seeing our manufacturing go overseas, and now all these bankers who own it all are saying, well, my goodness, they can't make the payments on the mortgages and credit cards. How did that happen? And they stand there scratching their heads and looking dumb. That was very poor planning, if indeed.
Stay there. Let's go right back to Mike Rivero. I promise, as soon as we start the next segment, we're going to go to Peggy, John, Helen, Robert, Jason, Victor,
the man with the foolish grin,
Steve, and others.
Perfectly still, but nobody wants.
I wanted to finish up with Russia right now. The EU said, yeah, we don't want our gas and oil cut off. We're not going to have sanctions on Russia over Georgia, but still, here in the United States, the media still reports that Russia snuck attacked Georgia, that there's, quote, U.S. aid, the Russians have caught the U.S. government shipping more weapons in, they've been threatening U.S. ships in the Black Sea, still a continued escalation there. And meanwhile, very childlike bloggers and others are saying that I'm a Russian sleeper agent, all because I reported the facts that the U.S.-backed Georgia-initiated aggressive actions towards Russian-held enclaves for hundreds of years. They said, I'm lying, that Ossetia, South Ossetia, and Abkhazia have never been part of Russia. They said that Russia attacked first. And I know these bloggers don't believe what they're saying. They've got to be on the payroll. Mike Rivero.
Absolutely. They're paid propagandists. The Internet is now the high ground in the war for the minds of America and indeed that of the entire world. And it is no surprise that various governments are spending millions of dollars, billions of dollars, hiring public relations firms to basically hire people to sit and post to the Internet to try and control the discussion.
And that's come out.
Yeah, it's been admitted to. Hill & Knowlton, which is the same public relations firm that put together that whole stolen incubator thing for Desert Storm, they openly advertise that for, you know, a fee. They will hire people to go into blogs and try and control the discussion. And, of course, as this whole Sarah Palin thing continues to unravel, my email box is being flooded with people saying, how can you attack a baby with Down syndrome? And, of course, I'm not attacking a baby with Down syndrome. I'm calling into question the character of the woman who would be vice president.
But it's the same thing. How dare you punch Michelle Malkin in the face? How dare you beat her with bullwhips? How dare you say murder her? Didn't do any of it. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't really care. They're basically paid to lie. It's a growing industry. In fact, it may be the only part of the American economy that's still working.
But a lot of times they don't even deny it. It'll say former congressman's aide, former Pentagon aide, former colonel. They don't even, or like the Intel Center, run by former CIA spooks who upload the bin Laden videos in the same resolution as their bug. I mean, it's just obvious.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, there's a huge propaganda effort on the Internet. And again, they're trying to play the game by the rules that worked in the 50s and 60s, and they're falling flat on their face. Now, getting back to Russia, it is beyond question that the initiating event in the hostilities was the shelling of the Russian barracks.
You're a Russian sleeper agent. No, we're sleepers. It's a lie. We're KGB. Go ahead.
I'm not sleeping. I got coffee right here.
KGB. Go ahead.
Anyway, the point is that now we're starting to see this spin that it doesn't matter who really started the conflict, that America must back Georgia against the Russian bear, that we've got to keep Russia contained inside Russia, that Russia has no right to just invade countries without reason, which of course is an incredibly hypocritical thing for the United States to be saying as we sit there in Afghanistan and Iraq and get ready to go into Iran.
But after it was proven that there were no WMDs in Iraq, they said, we never said that. It doesn't matter. It's democracy we're bringing. That's why we came. It was never about WMDs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just saying whatever they think will hold the people's anger at bay just a little bit longer. And but, you know, it is going to explode at some point. I don't know when. But, you know, even though I'm still playing the game within the system right now, ultimately I'm in agreement with you. I think the U.S. government is headed for a crash like that happened in Romania somewhere down the road. I don't know when, but we're headed that way and we can't turn back.
Well, I mean, when the New York Times announces they're going to hand over city buildings and the running of the city to private corporations, and incidentally then you can't look at their books, I mean, we're going into total receivership just like a third world country right now.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And, you know, we have this saying on a coffee cup that we sell around here. It says the last official act of any government is to loot the nation. And I actually had that on a T-shirt I was wearing when I was on vacation. And I had people come up and say, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it was rather a shock. I was wearing some of the What Really Happened T-shirts. And we had people come up to us and say, that's my favorite website. And we listen to you and we listen to you on Alex Jones. And, you know, it was kind of a weird experience to just, be out there in public like that and have people come up and recognize me and everything. So the word is getting out there. People are paying attention.
Well, Mike, you bring great analysis and information, and that's why folks are visiting InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and WhatReallyHappened.com. Speak of the devil, I've been making Peggy and John and Helen and Robert and everybody else hold, and now I'm told the phone company is here to check out the lines. They are giving us trouble. He said it's possible we might lose anybody on the lines, FYI. So that happens, call right back in. We'll put those to the head of the line that got hung up on. But I'm going to your calls. Just give me a whole new list, John, when we get back. He's up in Minnesota. I'm down here in Austin, Texas. Mike's out in Hawaii lavishing himself. showed up to run the final hour. We stream live on the web at prisonplanet.tv. He's like, man, you sound down. You sound out of it. No. Driving the 18, 20 hours, whatever it is, to Denver from Austin, I didn't really sleep. Driving back, I didn't sleep. And then it was exhausting what happened in Denver. And I hadn't been in the studio doing a live show in 10 days. I'd called in some. I'd done my Sunday show. That's in another studio. And I'm not even tired. I'm just more relaxed than I normally am. And I think, in a way, that's the danger. We become accustomed to corruption. We become accustomed to tyranny. And I want to ask Mike Rivero how he deals with that after we take some calls. But I'm, you know, calmly reading about Ray Nagin in New Orleans saying, if we see you outside after curfew, you will be considered a looter, and you'll go right to the state pen. No judge, no jury. You will go to jail for being a looter. Really, I thought we had due process. See, once you get rid of the Fourth Amendment, hey, we'll just spy on you. Hey, we'll ban First Amendment if we want speech. Hey, they're flushing it all down the toilet right now. But before I forget, you want to comment on that briefly, and then how do you deal with this, Mike? Because I mean, there's always a fresh outrage that gets me angry. But people notice when I don't seem as fiery, and it's almost just overwhelming to know that NATO calmly came out a year and a half ago and said, our new policy is to preemptively sneak attack you with nukes. And our policy is to provocate Russia. I mean, this is official policy. I mean, and I've just kind of gotten comfortable with the fact that we have a bunch of out-of-control people running things, Mike.
Well, they're not out of control in terms of themselves. They don't see themselves as villains or bad guys. They see themselves as serving their own interests, and rather ruthlessly as well. But the NATO policy is essentially an extension of the U.S. policy that George Bush put in place back in 2003, where he said preemptive war is now our doctrine. We're going to attack and destroy anybody we think might be a threat to us down the road. Of course, it's a very slippery policy because you wait enough time and virtually anybody's going to be a threat to
you.
And
now Russia says, okay, we may nuke you first if you keep moving weapons and men in, and the U.S. is still doing it.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Russia's threatening belligerence to the United States really is only an echo of what the U.S. has been saying for the last several years. Russia's comment that an attack on Georgia will be seen as an attack on Russia, or rather an attack on Abkhazia and Ossetia will be seen as an attack on Russia, is basically simply mirroring the Kennedy Doctrine back at us all over again. Russia isn't saying anything to the United States that the United States did not already say, you know, going back for the last 20, 30 years.
And by the way, if you watch their generals, they get up and read from the NATO doctrine saying, look, you took Serbia, you said you wouldn't break it off, you just did, now you're taking this, now you're moving weapons in, and your NATO document says you may sneak attack nuke us, and you want to provocate us? What is your problem? And all we're doing is stating the facts, and I'm sorry to all little neocons on the payroll out there, but I mean, you know, Mike, there is lunacy here. Yeah, I mean, there is megalomania going on here.
There is megalomania. People get caught up in this idea that they are making history and they're going to be famous and there'll be statues and medallions made of them and everything. And, you know, the bottom line is as soon as somebody makes a mistake, that's when people start dying. And unfortunately, we seem to, as a race, have a curse. Every 100 years or so, we get a group of people who think we can own it all, we can control it all, we can be masters of the entire world, and we'll build pyramids to our own honor and so forth and so on, and it doesn't matter how many people have to die because there's too many people anyway. And it really is this kind of callous disregard where the people at that level of the government, I mean, we remember Henry Kissinger saying that military people are just dumb, stupid pawns to be used up in foreign policy. And the idea is you play them like chips, and you calculate. So many will die, and that's an acceptable loss. And if so many more die, that's unacceptable. Therefore, we're going to change our strategy and tactics to keep the deaths down to a certain number, because those soldiers are the wealth. They're the chips that we play the game with. And they really do see it as a game, and they are masters of the game, and other people's lives are just the gambling chips.
And that's what Karl Rove said to a bunch of newspaper reporters 5 years ago. He said, look, we control reality and you don't. And you just report on the reality we make. Let's go to calls here. Helen in Florida, then Robert, Jason, Victor, and Steve. Go ahead, Helen.
Yes, Alex. Take their money. This is the way you can do it. Write promissory notes to the clerk of courts. In 1995, when our son was 21, he sent the clerk of court a promissory note, and they sent it back, which automatically discharged the debt. But they couldn't let that go. They brought him back to court four times. Finally, Judge Rushing, they threatened the jail and everything, and finally Judge Rushing said, this case is discharged. You've done your research well. So people can send promissory notes, which is the same value as our paper bills. Zilch. And it works. If everybody can recognize that, they can really make changes.
Well, I know a lot of folks go to prison, too, with all this paper patriot mythology business. And I know the banking system, the stock market system is all based on kookdom and fraud as well, and chicanery and magic tricks, illusion. But a lot of people get into these UCC and promissory notes and filings and bonds, and they go to prison like the Freeman. So be very, very careful. Helen, you want to comment on that, Mike Rivera?
Yeah, you need to be aware that a lot of the stuff that gets put out there along these lines is deliberately planted in order to trick people into doing something that the government can then use to throw them in jail.
Like Nocera. I've been hearing for 10 years or 12 years that everything's fine, a secret good government took over. Just stand down, fellow patriots.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just another placation. And, you know, I remember back in, I guess it was the 70s or 80s, there was this thing that came out called the Anarchist's Cookbook. And it was full of how to make drugs and how to make bombs. And experts in explosives looked at the recipes for the bombs and said, these are designed to go off in your face. They're missing key stabilizing chemicals. There was another one that was online. I think it was called the Pirate's Cookbook or something similar. And it turns out these are more propaganda put out by the government, the same as the Black Panther coloring book, another famous one from the 1960s the FBI put out there. They're designed to trip people up to get them to do things that are illegal so the government can come in and arrest them or even more spectacularly blow themselves up in their garage and say, aha, there was a domestic terrorist and you've got to be afraid and this is the reason we got to peek in all your windows.
Exactly. And some of the first databases on citizens that were public and the tracking and control of fertilizers and tracking of chemicals and setting up anti-terror and intelligence units and the first calls to restrict books and to track libraries was over that.
Yeah, absolutely. The Anarchist Cookbook, you know, started the hue and cry for like there have got to be limits on the First Amendment. And so this stuff is going back a very, very long way. You know,
well, it goes back to bankers 150 years ago would fund anarchists, and the media would just call the hired banker thugs. They would just call them anarchists.
They absolutely would. And remember back during Prohibition, most people don't realize that it was the gangsters and rum runners themselves that were covertly funding the temperance movement to keep booze illegal because that's what kept it profitable.
And by the way, they had 12 deaths in Yucatan in one day last week, huge national marches that got almost no attention, millions of people calling for an end to corruption. The drug war, if it was ended tomorrow, would annihilate most crime, but it isn't going to be stopped because the drug dealers run the government. Let's take another call. Robert in Illinois. Robert, go ahead.
Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, very good. The connection is sound. I just want to thank you very much for everything you've done. It's unbelievable, and don't you ever give up, you bulldog. Keep being a bulldog out there for us. This Mike Rivera guy, I don't know, unbelievable intellect, fantastic. And just to give you a little history on myself, I'm in Chicago. I got a Latino wife, mixed marriage, live in a gay and lesbian neighborhood, and you know we've got all kinds of crazy things going on out here. And lived in Denver for quite a while. In fact, I picked up a felony hearsay case, his word against mine. I've been in and out of Denver and Chicago, and I just really want to thank you. This is unprecedented, unbelievable what's going on in this country. And I'm coming from a fourth-generation family. I mean, my great-grandfather was in World War One, grandfather in World War Two.
Nope,
and my
you're
father,
a KGB agent if you say that Russia was attacked.
Yeah, well, it's all ridiculous. I mean, anybody with half an intellect sees what's going on here. I just wanted to make the point. I mean, it's tough to be on air and talking through millions of people when you're a caller. It's nerve-wracking to wait on the phone for 40 minutes.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you're on the air right now, KGB,
hey,
man.
I want to tell everybody with an iPhone, go to FlyTunes. You can pick up Alex Jones on FlyTunes.com, download it on your iPhone, and, you know, get involved. I've been listen, we had a Labor Day party. We had 30 people here, all different races and colors and creeds and whatnot. But we put your videos in all their handbags. We got creative.
Awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So get creative, get out there, and, you know, spread the message. That's all BS. Just do something.
I agree. God bless you. Good to hear from you. And I do apologize for keeping you on hold for 40 minutes, callers. It's just that me and Mike were covering a lot of issues, and I'm going to have nothing but open phones and news coming up in the next hour, but let's hurry to more calls. Thank you, Robert. You know, Mike, that's what's going to bring them down. People just saying, I don't care. I'm not going to save the world. I don't have all the answers. You know, so many people, myself included, want to do something perfect, want to have the master stroke, want to just, you know, have some silver bullet. No, it's everybody getting mad, taking action, starting your own blogs, calling into talk shows, starting newsletters, making copies of films, standing up and speaking at your church against the war. It's just saying no, 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 isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it is saying, no, I will not cooperate anymore. I mean, even Gandhi said the key to wresting India away from British control was peaceful, nonviolent, non-cooperation. I'm not going to do as I'm being told by the lying government anymore, and that's all it's going to take. I don't agree. I don't go along. You know, freedom begins with the freedom to say no. And, you know, if we are a free people, we have the right to say no to the government. No, we don't believe you. No, we will not go along with you. No, we will not give you our money and children to kill people with.
Well, here's an example. No state would pass a law saying you have to have a federally registered premises and each animal ID'd, because it came out the big poultry and beef producers and pork producers wanted it. Turned out they had a waiver for big plants over 1,000. It was, I think, 10,000 with chickens, but the numbers varied. The point was, it was meant to shut down small farms and ranches. And I saw the number last year where 90%+ of farms and ranches had just said no. So they tried to pass a law in Texas, but the law itself was just a hoax saying it's a recommendation. So next, people show up at the FAA meetings with their prize pig or cow or, you know, goose or, you know, a whole bunch of animals, and they would have the police escort them off saying, you don't have premises ID. But then it turned out that was all color of law, and it was just meant to scare the parents through their children. And I mean, again, this is dastardly.
It absolutely is. And, you know, you need to look at a lot of the laws that are being passed really are intended to keep small businesses from growing and becoming a threat to the established corporations. It is preservation of wealth and privilege. We are a strongly oligarchical society, and the oligarchs are this corporate CEOs. Look how much the Enron people got away with before the outrage was so great that something had to be done.
But isn't that an Achilles heel, the incredible corruption and the fact that they can run on so far because of the cronyism and protectionism of the system sometimes brings them down more often than even we do?
They can get arrogant and they can go too far, and that's the point at which enough people realize they have to be outraged. They can't pretend it's not a problem. And it really comes down to public anger. When the public gets angry enough is when the changes are going to get made.
And if the public knows who is behind the bad things that happen, the New World Order are masters at posing with the next solution to the crisis they created in the first place. Jason in the UK, then Victor and Steve. Jason, thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got quite a few questions. So, Okay, first of all, have you seen that video which is circulating with Vladimir Putin shooting that tiger?
Well, I saw the hoax Sunday headline, Putin murders tiger, Putin kills tiger. Let me just finish.
I'm not saying,
I know. Let me, for the listeners, finish, and then I'll hold you over if need be. You asked me a question, and then I saw it. I said, wow, Putin's out killing Bengals. I thought they were endangered. And so I went to the story, and at the bottom of the Times of London, it said he was visiting a zoological park, and they needed to put a new transmitter on it. And so, you know, he's a good shot, being former KGB, so they had him go out and do it. But yes, everyone freaking out, saying he murdered a tiger, but then when you read deeper, it was a propaganda push, and it said, oh no, it was a tranquilizer. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, but the point I'm trying to make is, do you think it's possible, this is probably a stretch, but do you think it could be a reference to George Bush's New World Order speech, where he talks about the law of the jungle? So could this be Putin saying, you know, law of the jungle is here to stay, you're not going to get your rule of law?
You know what, I don't know if that's the case. I know this, the media misrepresented that Putin was out shooting tigers, when that's an unpopular thing to be hunting, knowing that people would just halfway pay attention to it and think that he indeed was out shooting tigers. Mike Rivera?
Yeah, again, it's another typical distortion by the media. You know, Putin was out there, and, you know, he had a tranquilizer gun. And they take the video and they try and totally mischaracterize it to say, ooh, Putin, bad guy for killing the tiger. And it's blatant, it's reckless, and again, it shows that the people who are designing and putting out this propaganda are still living in the past. They're living in the 1950s and 1960s, where they could put this stuff out and there'd be nobody there to challenge it. And they, you know, they just don't see it, that this stuff doesn't have any traction any longer.
Yeah, I mean, it really is an insult to say that Russia attacked Georgia, to say that Putin really killed a tiger. They're back saying Iraq did have WMDs now. I mean, there's just no end to these people. They say they're conservatives. That's another big hoax. Any other comments there, Jason?
Yeah, I got a few more. If you've seen NATO's response to this, it looks like NATO is really going to be the force that evolves into the world army, which has been talked about.
Yes, they've said that. I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, and one more thing. When you were at the Bohemian Grove, you say that a lot of the top up-and-coming politicians are there. Did you actually manage to identify anyone?
You know, you see a lot of people you recognize, but then you can't confirm it because you can't stick a video camera in their face. You've got a hidden camera on you. I was in there 5 hours. In 3 hours of it, I was hiding in the woods. But we get the list each year of who goes there. And it's Bill Richardson. It's all of them. It's really who's who. So I appreciate your fine comments there, Jason. Victor, Steve, Josh. We'll hold Jason over if he's got any other comments. If not, we'll let him go. Stay with us. Mike Rivera is our guest. Infowars.com. You're on the air with Mike Rivera, whateallyhappened.com. Go ahead, Victor.
Hello. Yes, I have a question for Mike and also a comment about basically the desensitization of people to torture in the media.
All right, you're on the air with KGB sleeper agents. Welcome.
All right. The Russia thing, is it... Mike, do you think that this whole South Ossetia thing might be a feint or a distraction for Russian forces in preparation for an attack on Iran?
Yes. Why did Russia brutally launch a sneak attack on South Ossetia?
Well,
I'm being sarcastic. Go ahead.
Yeah, I realize you're being sarcastic here. When this whole Georgian thing cranked up, I mean, we know that the U.S. and Israel were sending in troops, or rather, let me correct that, advisors and material support starting in November of last year. And it seemed like this might have been more of a tactical move in order to prevent Iran from, or prevent Russia from supporting Iran by ground, coming along that land bridge between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And I think the thinking was that if they could kick up this nice little prolonged border war, that would limit Iran's ability to support Iran during an American invasion.
Instead, but they're now cementing an alliance.
Yeah, absolutely. This has backfired tremendously. Russia is now moving into the political vacuum that the U.S. has left in the region. They're creating strong ties with Iran, with Syria. They're taking advantage of this foreign policy blunder by this administration. And, you know, this is really on the strategic level. This slavery to Israel's will in the Mideast is absolutely a disaster, because we're making enemies of all the other nations in the Mideast, and Russia is very happy to move in and take advantage of that situation. So geopolitically, the United States is very much in decline, because the only nation we're allowed to be friends with anymore is Israel, and we can't be politically important in the global community if we're only friends with Israel.
But that actually plays into the larger New World Order plan, from what I've seen, to let the United States take over the countries, let run up our debt, put the New World Order on our bill, then demonize us as the unipolar world, and then have China and Russia and the EU rise as the new World Order system. I mean, I've been saying that for 10 years, and it looks like every step our government takes is to discredit us, is to destroy us, but regardless of which it is, the end result is the same.
Yeah, it is. It almost doesn't matter whether it's a deliberate plot or just accident and stupidity. The end result is the United States is definitely, definitely in decline. And, you know, it's just a question of how low will the American people ride with it until they decide it's time to just let it go.
I think it's almost unlimited what the majority will put up with. The question is, what will that active minority that's always changed and made history, what will they do? Anything else, Victor?
I've encountered some videos online that are being passed off as art pieces, but which depict two young boys getting into what appears to be a homosexual relationship, and also another video by the same filmmaker depicting a 5-year-old boy who basically tortures his 1-year-old sister. I contacted our federal police, the RCMP, about it, and they said that since you don't actually see the torture or say kissing and stuff like that taking place, they cut away from it, that they can't do anything. But it's still awfully disturbing, and it's on a
public site. Yeah, well, you've got NAMBLA and all these groups being protected only so they can point at those groups and then take our true, legitimate free speech away. Mike Rivera?
Yeah, absolutely agree. The presence of these kind of shocking videos on the Internet is basically preparation to try and put the Internet under more government control. We saw this way, way back with the Exxon Amendment, where they were trying to put control on the Internet. And it was almost a joke, because a month before the Exxon Amendment was proposed in Congress, all of a sudden all this hardcore porn was being flooded onto the Internet. It was going through the Usenet groups, which was sort of a pre-web browser situation. It was being poured into places like cooking groups and model airplane groups.
Tell you what, Mike, I'm going to let you go in 5, but I'm going to come back and finish. All right, we are now into the 4th and final hour today. Mike Rivera leaving us in about 5 minutes. Man, I could have this guy on for 4 hours straight, and I know you love it listening to him as well. You can check him out on the Genesis schedule at GCNLive.com or WhatReallyHappened.com. I'm Alex Jones. Again, my websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We're not winning this fight, but we're certainly in this fight and gaining ground, and the enemy is losing ground. So we could start winning this fight against the New World Order if you get involved. So spread the word about the shows, the websites, what we're doing now more than ever, and the new film, Fabled Enemies, that we just released, that Jason Burmes directed, that I produced. Mike, we have a cocktail of attacks on the Internet, and I know you're well-versed on that. You have one of the first alternative news websites on the web, and you expose the Vince Foster murder from there more than even Christopher Ruddy did. But yes, in closing, attacks on the web intensifying right now. Then we're coming back in the next segment with We Are Change Minnesota on the scene with new breaking developments. But let's go back to Mike Rivera right now.
Well, basically, as I was saying before the break, back during the Exxon Amendment, it was very obvious what was going on, because a month before Senator Exxon went before Congress to try and say, we've got to control the Internet, all this hardcore pornography, I mean, really gross and disgusting, even for porno, it was bad. And it was being poured all over the Internet in very inappropriate places, and the Internet is very self-policing, and people would say to these posters, please don't put this in here, this is a cooking group. And these bozos would come back and say, I have a First Amendment right to put this anywhere I want, blah, 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 blah. So we did a little digging, and we found out these people posting all this trash all over the net were all routing through military servers and government offices, and sure enough, you know, a month later, Senator Exxon gets up and says, we must have control over the Internet. Look at all these sleazy porn pictures I'm finding in cooking groups and model airplane groups and music groups and the children.
And let's just say what it was. It was people eating feces.
It was pretty bad stuff. And, of course, as soon as the Exxon Amendment came and went in Congress, the porn flood stopped. And, I mean, you don't get much more obvious than that it was a staged operation bought and paid for with your tax dollars.
God, how do they get these guys you know, with these PR firms and out at Cheyenne Mountain and Southcom in Miami and Tampa. I mean, how do they get them to really hurt this country? I mean, like you said, I guess they say we're the good guys so we can break any rule we want.
Well, you know, if you got enough money, you can get somebody to sell out their own country, and we've seen that throughout our entire nation's history. And they don't see them selling out the country. They think they're on the winning team. They think it's for the greater good. They can make all kinds of excuses to themselves at the bottom of those scotch glasses they're having at the end of the workday. But the bottom line is they are paid liars. That's what public relations and spin is. It's paid lying to the public. Hill and Knowlton did that whole incubator story that helped sell the Iraq War, and they probably convinced themselves it was for a greater good and bringing democracy and blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is they take money to deliberately mislead the American people into making poor choices about what their government is doing.
Oh, it's just incredible. They get away with so much of it. I'm going to come back and go to Steve and Josh and Steve and many others that are patiently holding. But first, we're going to get about a five-minute report from Anthony Yasha. We Are Change Minnesota. He's had his own run-ins with the feds for trying to cover events. He's also done work for me. He is an Infowars.com press pass carrier. Big developments there. So Anthony Yasha will be on with us in the next segment. Mike, we love having you on once a month, but once a month is not enough. I want to start getting you on every few weeks for an abbreviated interview like you did last week with Jason Burmes. And thanks for your help getting out ahead of that Michelle Malkin disinfo story with the truth. We've certainly turned the tide on them by Wednesday or Thursday and have kicked their butts. Now they are, even on their own radio show, admitting it was all lies now. So thank you for your help there, my friend, and we'll talk to you very soon.
You got it. Look forward to it. Have a good day.
You bet. There goes Mike Rivero. Great guy. Great political brain. And he's one of the commentators, one of the experts in the new film, Fabled Enemies. Alex Jones is not in this film. Alex Jones was not going to be in Truth Rising, but I got arrested, so I had to be in my own film. You're going to see more films coming out with no Alex Jones. Why? Because someday you may not even hear me on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to make films. We'll be right back. Get Fabled Enemies at Infowars.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We've got quite a few people from We Are Change, Minnesota, 9/11 Truthers, you name it, on the line with us. Let's go to Anthony Yasha, who is an Infowars.com reporter, also one of the founders of We Are Change, Minnesota. Needs no introduction. They've asked Bill Clinton questions, Hillary Clinton, John McCain. Had the Secret Service arrest him for asking John McCain a question, saying his Infowars.com press passes were fake. They then went to Ted Anderson and basically threatened him to say that it was a fake press pass, and asked Ted why he wanted to support 9/11 Truth. So Anthony's been through quite a bit, just to give you some of his background. I know the phones are loaded. We're going to get to everybody. We've got about 51 minutes left here today. Going to Anthony Yasha, who's in Minneapolis, St. Paul for the RNC. Anthony, you've got the floor, my friend. Give us a rundown on what you've been witnessing.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having us on. We were down at the march yesterday. I mean, we covered the preliminary stuff. We're going to try to get as much film and audio and pictures up on the web here today as soon as possible. But yesterday, I mean, always could have been worse. And if W and Cheney and those guys had shown up, it probably would have been a lot worse. But, I mean, they were doing mass arrests and pinning people against the river with riot cops and making them sit on the concrete for 2 hours. And one girl actually urinated on herself because she had to sit there so long and they wouldn't let her move. Coast Guard was boarding boats, like armed and ready to go, and they were shooting rubber bullets, not tasering people, but pepper spraying people, and it was really crazy. I mean,
well, this is better than the Cold War. Not only were they fighting a fake enemy they funded then, now they get to fight women and children. So imagine getting to be a macho guy in a Darth Vader outfit who just beats up women. It must feel good.
Yeah, there was one yesterday. We actually got him on video where he was pretty much, I mean, the lady brought her, probably about a four-year-old there, and he's just telling her how stupid she was for bringing a kid to what's supposed to be a peaceful march. And just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you don't march in America, okay? You keep your mouth shut and you take your Prozac, you die of diabetes and cancer. You know, you take your vaccines, you roll over and die. That's what you do. You want to help America? Die. You want to help America? Jump off a cliff. Lick a boot today. That's how you help. Go ahead.
That's true. I mean, we're definitely in full force and we haven't gotten a chance to get down there today yet, but we're sure there's probably just as many police as there was yesterday. And there is definitely, I mean, we got, there's definitely some people down there trying to cause trouble and mess it up for everybody. Cause we got some pretty good footage of a group of anarchists, whatever you want to call them, running away after they had pretty much provoked the police from what we understand.
So basically it's the same MO. They attack the police and then they run back, and the foundation that brought them in always was funded by the government. We've been caught red-handed. Sometimes it's cop dressed up like anarchist, police dressed up like them. And then they run off, and then the police attack the peaceful crowd.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that's actually what happened out at the river yesterday. Like I say, I mean, we were
well, that's what mainstream media says. The mainstream media says that the slaves, the cattle, the scum, filth Americans got off their deviated slave path, and that the God force, the lords of the kingdom, our rulers, our gods, the supreme ones, the first class lordships, then began beating and attacking everybody, and that then the anarchists began smashing and burning things.
Yep. What's it like to try to say?
Well, I mean, break down what else you've seen there, slave.
Just complete. I mean, we got a couple of Jeremiah from Ohio changes here, Adam from Colorado changes here, and they said, I mean, for being at both of them, that it was pretty extreme yesterday. And like I say, if Cheney or any of those guys had shown up yesterday, it would have been probably chaos.
I know, those are supreme lords, but the servants of God, the angels in black, how many angels in black?
Well, I can say probably at least, well, how many would you say black in black uniforms yesterday would you say? One saying maybe 3,000. They were literally everywhere. And
okay, now
I mean, I maybe saw maybe one, two badges out of all of them.
Now, how were the slave owners behaving?
You mean the actual protesters?
No, the police are slave owners. How were the slave owners behaving?
Most of them were actually pretty decent. They didn't like, I mean, you could see even like the bike cops and stuff. There was a lot of people that didn't want to be there, especially our Minneapolis cops. But a lot of them, I mean, we got good footage of.
Yeah, I heard some of them. I heard some of them might be KGB agents because they were actually giving thumbs up to 9/11 truthers. Maybe they're secretly with the terrorist.
That could be it. And we did actually get a couple that drove by yesterday. We actually ended up just parking at a bridge and
sympathizers. They're sympathizing with terrorists.
It could be.
Oh my God, this is horrible news. I mean, tell me what they were doing.
Well, they just make sure they followed everybody. I mean, they were right up on everybody the whole time.
But you did say that some of the lords, police lords, were thumbs-upping you, though.
Oh, yeah. There was quite a few. I mean, we had, like I said, we stopped at a bridge and started basically bullhorning the whole march as it went by. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people walked by when we were basically set up camp, but we had a couple police cars on marks come by, give us thumbs up, honk when they came by. They knew where we were there and who we were.
Yeah, well, there are some good cops. I had some of them do that in Denver as well, and we've seen it in New York. But, you know, I went to Denver to blame the police, you know, if they did something wrong. I mean, expecting that because I see it everywhere else. And then I had to admit they were somewhat restrained there and actually were humans, not they didn't act like they were from Mount Olympus or something, that I was scum. First time I'd ever seen this, I was absolutely amazed. But it looks like in Minnesota that they were not as restrained, but not as bad as they could have been.
Yeah, it was, I mean, besides the couple times, I mean, we were probably about away when they started firing the rubber bullets and stuff, and it looked like just a select group that had broken off from actual march and gone over there and kind of provoked something from what I heard.
Yeah, they were throwing things at police is what the news says. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so sick of these anarchists claiming that they're not government agents or they're not hired when they've been caught over and over again. I don't know about this particular group because I wasn't there, but they've been caught. And then to come up and attack our cameras and push and hit on us in Minnesota, sounds like the same thing's happening of what we saw in Denver. But in Denver, they would come up and attack us and then say we're nonviolent as they broke our cameras and slapped our equipment and slapped us. Just a really despicable group. And now, have you had any more visits from the Secret Service?
Actually, they've pretty much laid off me. I don't know. I mean, my girlfriend got pulled over. She was speeding, but a couple of days ago. But I guess the police
not
were pretty,
speeding, not speeding. Al Qaeda-ing. So your girlfriend Al-Qaeda-ing. Was your girlfriend was Al Qaeda-ing, and then what happened next?
They pretty much went through almost all the questions that the Secret Service had asked her when she came, or when they came over to my house originally.
So there's no doubt you're in a database.
Oh yeah, because they're like, well, where does Anthony work, and what is he doing these days, and where is he?
A freedom base, actually, a freedom base, not a database.
Yeah.
A freedom base. I mean, that's freedom, man. When you get pulled over and you're in a database and they're secret policing you, man, that is really good. That's what the veterans fought and died for.
Well, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, because it's because I'm a KGB agent that I don't want to be like Russia was or East Germany, and I don't want secret police. But see, that's because I'm KGB.
That's exactly.
See, if you're against secret police and being pulled over randomly and asked questions, it's because you're. Anthony, are you a KGB agent?
I guess I am.
You carry a press pass from this organization. You must be KGB. It's like no way out, man. I've been found. I go to the safe house, and then there's a KGB there, and Vladimir Putin's there patting me on the head and everything. Oh, my God. No, I mean, have you heard the latest that I'm actually a KGB agent? People are actually saying this because I went on Russian TV and said, we're sorry the neocons have snuck attack you. The American people don't want war with you. Now I'm evil. I should believe that. No, Russia attacked them. Did you know that?
Who's saying?
Here. I'll be a good patriotic American. Some blogs and things. I'll be a good patriotic American. Saddam had thousands of nuclear weapons. He tried to use them. Russia snuck attacked Georgia and killed millions. George Bush is a great American. He promised we would be back in 10 years. He never said we'd be out of Iraq quick. He never said mission accomplished. Man, I'm just sick. I want to lock up every liberal in this country. I want to put them in prison camps. I think torture is good. I think the memo saying torture small children is good. That's pro-America. And anybody that's against it needs to be tortured and put in a camp. And I'm glad the Secret Service is asking you questions and pulling your girlfriend over, Anthony Yasha. How dare you in America go ask politicians questions? That is un-American, boy. Now, anything else, you un-American piece of filth, you want to report here before we slam your ass in a black site?
Well, I know a couple of these other guys might want to say something quick, but just say we're going to get these videos up. We got a lot of really great video and
good. Give us the dirty terrorist website, you un-American piece of trash. I don't want to hear about the Bill of Rights from you. That's a terrorist document. Shut up! It never existed. It's a conspiracy theory from your fat conspiracy married mouth, you sleeper agent, KGB. Shut up, KGB. Now, what other KGB you got, Anthony Yasha? Give me that KGB website first.
MNChange.org.
MNChange. That stands for Manchurian Commissar.
Got it.
Dear God. I can't believe it. I've uncovered a nest of hardcore communist. Folks, I'm not going to stand by for communist indoctrination and infiltration anymore. I'm going to expose every one of you that's against attacking Iran and Russia. You're a bunch of blood-sucking commies. We're going to skip this break for the Infowars.com streams to fight commies. I'm going to fight some commies. Here we go.
Honey, have you seen the remote?
Cut the audio. I think John Harmon's with a communist. Let's get him on the line. John Harmon, are you some kind of sleeper agent?
Yes, sir, I am.
Damn right. You were raised in the Soviet Union, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
You're just waiting to launch your dastardly attack with bastard Alex Jones. And this Anthony Yosh is disgusting. How dare him not want to torture small children? An American piece of filth?
How dare you?
How dare you, Yasha? Yeah. No, it's incredible you're un-American. You don't want to pay a global carbon tax either. That's because you're for the New World Order. All right, let's go ahead and... Anthony, you got any other terrorists you want to put on the line?
Yeah, definitely. I think Jeremiah from Ohio would like to jump on.
Jeremiah. Now, is he with that evil KGB out of Ohio?
Yeah.
All right, We Are Change KGB Ohio.
Okay. Thanks,
right,
man.
Go ahead, communist.
Hi, this is Jeremiah from Ohio Change.
Hey, man, tell us what happened over there.
Yeah, yesterday we just got a call from a friend of ours that she was just being tear gassed downtown from us.
That's freedom. That's what, you're against that? Do you support Al-Qaeda? Are you some kind of KGB officer?
No.
All right, well, okay, they're love gassing her. What happens next?
Yeah, dude, we basically just got down there like an hour after, and when we got down there, we're right by the river, and we just noticed that by at least 100, 150 or more, we're just sitting there on the cement right next river being detained by, like...
They made them put their hands up in Denver. That's freedom. Men in black uniforms, marching citizens with their hands up. That's freedom. And if you don't like it, you're a KGB agent. Go ahead.
Yeah, dude. Basically, I'm detained there on the ground just for like about 2-3 hours, and we started just taking people away one by one, and just started questioning them for just what were they doing, and people were just trying to get to a concert, and some people were just protesting, some people just got caught up in the scene out of nowhere.
Nope, they're every one of them secret KGB sleepers, and you know it. You're trying to cover up for KGB operatives that were trying to launch sneak attacks on Georgia. On the peach plantations. Didn't you hear Russia attack the United States a month ago on 888?
Yes, I did. I just came out of nowhere. I know they were planning all these attacks from out of nowhere, and it just came out of nowhere just a few nights ago when that happened. Just came out one night, and this happened.
That's right.
Yeah, also, we're covering the rally for the Republic for today.
Okay, tell us about that.
We Are Change actually was able to get backstage and actually able to talk to Tucker Carlson and ask him.
American. He hates the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
God, he's good.
Gotta
eradicate that commie document. That's so kind of document.
Yeah, we were able to ask him if he supported any investigations as of into 9/11. And he said he supports as many investigations as possible, but
investigations of you.
Yeah.
All right, I've been being a bit sarcastic here, playing the part of, because people are going to take this on the web and say, I meant it. We're not really KGB agents. We're patriotic Americans fighting people that are setting things up like the KGB had in Russia. And we're talking right now to some folks from We Are Change. Now, tell us your name again.
I'm Jeremiah Van Buren from Ohio Change. You actually used my megaphone back in Denver.
That's right. Oh, let's talk some about that. Here we go, Jeremiah. Now, this song is about a KGB agent named Andrew Jackson.
In 1814, we took a little trip.
He was an enemy of the government.
Down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and
he was for Al-Qaeda.
Caught the bloody British in a town in
New Orleans.
Because
he fought the government.
Fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there
were. But he got his.
We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Tony Blair defeated him.
We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British...
All right, we're talking to some of the folks from We Are Change, Anthony and others.
We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf.
Tell us again, sir... tell us your full name, where you are, where you're from, the newest feller we've got on. So they taught me in KGB school how to use those colloquialisms to fool people. All right, I need to stop screwing around, folks. You were actually there at Denver, and were you there with us, I think, whenever we took over MSNBC two different nights?
Yes, I was. I used my Meg phone for both times.
Your Al Qaeda phone. But
yes.
Now, I mean, getting serious, tell us your full name and just for the record and what you witnessed.
I'm Jeremiah Van Buren from Toledo, Ohio. I'm actually from the city where the Marines actually got kicked out of town by a mayor.
Doesn't exist. Never happened. Conspiracy theory. Anyway,
yeah, I'm just this is my first time actually working with We Are Change, and what I just noticed from here at the RNC from Denver, I actually noticed for the first time in my life, police actually wearing gas masks. Then not in Denver, but actually at the RNC here in St. Paul.
Would you say, being in Denver as well, that they're much more subdued in Denver versus there in Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Yes.
What are some of the other things you've seen from the protectors, the people that protect us from the Bill of Rights?
Basically back in Denver, the people that are attacking us back in Denver was mainly the anarchists and some people from MSNBC, but here in St. Paul, it's basically what I've seen so far is basically the police have been provocating incidents out of nowhere. It's just people have just been protesting and just wandering around the streets, just started actions out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, in America, you can't be allowed to be peaceful out on the street. I mean, that's evil. But you know, being serious, what you've witnessed is horrible. Going back to MSNBC attacking us, they broke my megaphone, ripped the strap off, ripped the cord off, ripped the front off, were punching me, punching everybody else. It broke one of our $7,000-$8,000 cameras, because the camera's $6,000, the mic's like $1,000. They broke that, and we're screaming and cheering with glee. But then 15 minutes later, we came back with you guys, and it was magic. They couldn't stop us, and they were so mad.
I remember we all got there that some MSNBC guy actually tried to take out for some of our cameras.
Yeah, and a little MSNBC troll also grabbed our wireless card. But then Keith Olbermann asked us nicely from the top to stop, and because he did report on state-sponsored terror when Dick Cheney was planning to blow up our own ships, and I'm being serious now, folks, that really happened, we did shut down after taking over for 2+ hours for him. You think that was a mistake, or should we have continued? Because it was pretty pathetic how we took over. I mean, it was pathetic for them.
Yeah, just basically this, since you don't know how to be the media, it's basically up to us to be the media, and just basically how they were just trying to, at times, sabotage us, basically bring us down.
Well,
and
that's
we
it. I mean, they're calling us radicals for bullhorning live events and shouting at Michelle Malkin. Our founders did 10,000 times that. I mean, we're not burning down ships, setting off dynamite, you know, or black powder. We're not tar and feathering people, roasting their skin off. We're not burning down cities. You know, we're just out shouting, and it's like, oh my God, they're shouting, ban them, ban. But they went to the cops and said ban them, and the cops said nope. So big difference. What do you think would have happened in Minnesota if we tried to take over a live TV show?
Well, I'm not sure, but we've been trying to figure out how to do that here in St. Paul, but, possibly they could shut us down, possibly just, like, make us go away or something, but possibly some type of degree, they just make us just have us arrested or possibly just harass us.
Is there anything else you noticed that you saw there that you want to make everybody aware of?
I'm guessing there's more harassment here at the RNC than at the DNC, that the Denver police were actually more polite than the ones here at the RNC.
Yeah, I haven't seen a cop open a door for somebody in years, and they were opening doors for everybody. They were definitely on good behavior.
They were.
But not, to go to New York or Austin or anywhere else, just kind of like, what are you looking at, slave? What do you want, you piece of trash? Lick my boots, get over here and clean out my garage. You exist for one thing, and that is to be my slave. All right, hey, good to talk to you guys. Anybody else from We Are Change want to get online?
Nick does, here he is.
Nick. All right, we'll talk to Nick behind the scenes. We're skipping this break, only at the Infowars.com streams.
We're
on the march, the Empire's on the run. I got to get serious and take calls from Steve, Jerry, John, and Eddie when we get back. But is this Nick?
Yeah, this is Nick.
Nick, announce your criminal name for everyone.
My criminal name's Nick Bakken.
Nick Bakken. Good to have you on board here, Commander. Where are you from?
I'm from Minneapolis here.
Okay, give us a rundown on what you witnessed, Nick.
Well, witnessed total tyranny in the Twin Cities yesterday. I felt like I was in East Berlin during the Cold War. I mean, cops in riot gear everywhere, blocking your path, pushing people around. Some of it provoked, some of it unprovoked. We've got Coast Guard people with 50 cals on their ships, boarding peaceful protesters. We got pictures up at mnchange.org and an article about some of the events that happened yesterday, and we'll be uploading more today.
All right. Anything else, sir?
What's that?
Anything else you'd like to add?
At least my fate isn't shared like Amy Goodman.
Oh, yeah, Amy Goodman. But first they beat up two of our reporters to a pulp, and she walked over and said, "We have passes." And they were just like, "Ah!" And now they're charging her with a felony, saying she assaulted them. Notice how this is why they're losing all their credibility, is that she's done nothing to them, and it's not just a false arrest. They're going to slap felonies on her and then make her beat them.
Yeah, exactly. But
God, that's criminal.
The interesting thing is the tyranny isn't happening just on the outside of the RNC. We've also talked to many delegates on the inside, and we're going to have some exclusive reports on MN Change throughout the week with delegates, and saying the whole thing's teleprompted. They have to follow with the chosen one. And
but that's freedom. Again, you don't have free speech. That was what the Soviets did. That's exactly. KGB. That's Hitler. You don't camps in black uniforms and secret police is America. Red, white, and blue, and apple pie and free speech is Al Qaeda. My God, young man, do you realize the evil you've been involved in? Speaking your mind, talking about freedom? That's what Al Qaeda feeds on, sir. Okay, do you want to repent for talking and using dirty words on air like liberty and freedom?
No, I will not.
Oh my God! Are you with? Do you know Bin Laden? Is Bin Laden with? Only Bin Laden talks of that. My!
But also, the delegates are being harassed by the Secret Service, the good old modern day Praetorian Guard.
Good. Let's keep those slaves in line.
They're being told that if they do anything against John McCain or anything in support of another candidate, that they'll be kicked out of the delegation.
Well, that's good. And they need to be sent to Siberia. I mean Alaska. Oh, mm-hmm. My KGB training kicking in.
Been one of them,
hold on. We're coming back live right now. This is Nick. Here we go.
Ira Hayes.
This is a song about liberty and freedom. We can't play that here. It's un-American.
Call him drunken.
You can't talk about freedom. You'll get arrested. You'll get put on a list.
Not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
Nick Bogus is our guest.
Gather around me, people.
I know we got calls. I'm going to get to them.
There's a story I would tell about a brave young Indian.
We are discussing the RNC. Tell us, this is the big news here, Nick, and give us your full name again for the record. We're back live on the main transmission. And tell us specifically what the delegates are telling you about how they're completely straitjacketed. This fits in with if you go to a, quote, Cheney public town hall or a Bush town hall for 7 years, you've got to sign a form swearing to only support him. And they advertised it as a public event. If you have an anti-war sticker, you're arrested in the parking lot. This is the new America. And freedom is evil. Tyranny is king. But tell us about the delegates there at this staged event. Nick?
Okay, it looks like we dropped all of our callers.
Oh, the phone company is there. During that big exclusive, Ted has balls of string attached to his underbelly. I'm just joking around. Hey, call. They were all on Yass's phone. Call them back. You have to on the local number so I can get them here on air. Well, that's what you get, Steve and Jerry and John and Eddie and Bob and Will and everybody else that was holding. That's what you get holding on this show. Yeah, I shouldn't get in a smart-ass mode because if I do that, I can really get out of control. It makes me sick how far this country slid. Our basic Bill of Rights and Constitution under fundamental attack. being dismantled. And a bunch of idiots in black uniforms running around pepper spraying people with, and the anarchists aren't even starting it. And then you've got the delegates all straitjacketed, basically. You know, let's play that audio. I sent you a bunch of audio clips, John. I forgot to ask you. Do you have the one of McCain in the last couple of weeks bumbling around, not knowing the name of his VP, not thinking that Iran is Al-Qaeda-backed?
It's ready.
Let's go ahead and play that while we get the phones back up. And while we get Anthony Yasha and the We Are Change Minnesota people back on, here it is.
Is there anybody that's tired of paying $4 a buck, $4 a gallon for gasoline? Is there anybody that's sick and tired of it?
We continue to be concerned about Iranian taking Al-Qaeda into Iran, training them and sending them back. Well, it's common knowledge and has been reported in the media that that Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran and receiving training and are coming back into Iraq from Iran. That's well known. I'm sorry. The Iranians are training extremists, not Al-Qaeda. Not Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry.
You might have had kind of a senior moment there.
To find and connect up a real leader with a real borrower.
The first thing I would do is make sure that we have a missile defense system in place in Czechoslovakia.
And President Putin and former his government, Putin. Former President Putin.
President Putin of Germany gave one of the old Cold War-style speeches, and that's not change we can believe in. Tight household budgets are getting tighter.
You shouldn't have used the word timetable.
Pardon me?
You shouldn't have used the word timetable.
I didn't use the word timetable.
I think it's a pretty good timetable, as we should our horizons for withdrawal.
Oh, well, look, anything is a good timetable that is dictated by conditions on the ground. Anything is good.
One is reducing the energy supplies to Czechoslovakia.
I'm not the youngest candidate in this race. You know that. I'm older than Frankenstein. I got a few scars and I'm older than dirt, and I've got more scars than Frankenstein. Screwed up that line. But I've been around. We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
I don't. Bad luck.
It's a very hard struggle, particularly given the situation on the Iraq-Pakistan border.
Why?
How can we bring pressure to bear on the government of Somalia? How can we, Sudan.
I will conduct a respectful debate. Now, it'll be dispirited. It'll be spirited. I'm a proud conservative liberal conservative Republican. Hello. Easy there. And that's not change we can believe in.
The oil supplies to the Republic of Czechoslovakia. Remember, excuse me, the Czech Republic. I used to call it the Czech Republic, as you know. To return our property, our party, to the principles.
If you believe you should pay more taxes, I'm the wrong candidate for you. Senator Obama is your man.
I think he's inside a bubble. I think he's been ginned up a little bit.
I will veto every single bill.
Senator, can you explain why you and your campaign manager have specifically said that Obama played the race card with his comments the other day? Sure. And can you elaborate when you said that you fought for equal rights for your entire life, what specifically you've done focusing on improving the lives of African Americans?
All right. First of all, the first question that you said, why am I?
What it is when your campaign manager and you reiterated that you backed David?
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here in Nevada, 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 Nevada. It's wonderful to be here in Nevada.
You still view Al-Qaeda in Iraq as a major threat?
It is still a major threat, though it is
certainly not as major a threat as it was, say, 15 months ago.
Certainly not an obscure sect of the Shiites all over Sunnis or anybody else. And
so many other tragic stories of people who are being held caught hostage by this very cruel and inhumane organization.
For a guy whose official seal carried the motto, "Yes, we can," Senator Obama's agenda sure has a whole lot of "No, we can't." Including reduction in oil supplies to Czechoslovakia.
Where are you? Are you still here? Or are you not? Oh, Mayor Sparks is here.
That's not change we can believe in. I'd love to see my friend Shaquille O'Neal, who just finished the playoffs last.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, John McCain. And there's a lot of other stupid gaffes that he has. But don't worry, he won't be running anything if he's president. Neither will Barack Obama. Remember that. All these debates about who has more experience or who has cancer or who's senile or who's young or who has communists in their background or whose daddy's a Muslim, none of it amounts to a hill of beans, because since 1947 we've had a complete shadow government, and it's taken full control in 2007 and has told Congress it runs absolutely nothing and to sit down and shut up. Period. End of story. End of debate. The network phone lines are still down. If the We Are Change folks want to try to call in on our local line, they can. Or you can call them, John, if you have a local line. This happens a few times a year, because things are held together with baling wire and chewing gum around here. All right, I'm going to quit screwing around. I do have a stack of news here I haven't even really gotten to yet, and I really should cover all of this. I mean, that would really be the best thing for me to do here. EU dependent on Russian energy balks at Georgia war sanctions. This is out of Bloomberg. European Union leaders refuse to impose sanctions on Russia over the invasion of Georgia. Gotta love that deception. They refuse to put sanctions on them over them invading Georgia, when they were being attacked by Georgia and they just moved in and kicked their military out and pulled back. Good God. Acknowledging their reliance on Russian oil and gas at a time of faltering economic growth, EU leaders took their symbolic step yesterday of suspending talks over expanding trade ties with Russia, fearing the tougher measures could expose the energy-dependent bloc to Russian retaliation. Russia is the 27th nation bloc main supplier of oil and gas and the third biggest trading partner, giving it leverage at a time when the European community threatens to tip into recession. Europe's determination to maintain business links also undercuts U.S. efforts to line up allies against the recidivist Russia, the reassertive Russia. Oh, man. Amazing disinformation. Russia says U.S. may have sent weapons into Georgia. Russia suggests U.S. ships may be carrying weapons to Georgia, along with aid, says that's an act of war. World's largest gold refiner runs out of Kruger Ends, also Bloomberg. They're just running out of gold here. But gold's kind of gone up a little, but overall fallen. Everybody's buying it off the shelves, but you don't want any of it. The dollar's strong, man. Everything's great. Print more money. The Georgian crisis turns dangerous. Lou Rockwell really says it well. Pipsqueak Georgia's harebrained and disastrous attack on tiny South Ossetia has produced a full-blown crisis, pitting the U.S. and NATO against the bear. In an act fraught with danger, U.S. and NATO warships are delivering supplies to Georgia, watched by Russian men of war. The U.S. Congress may soon vote. That's a man of war is a ship, for those public school educated that drink fluoride like myself. The U.S. Congress may soon vote $1 billion for Americans' embattled Georgia satellite. The Western powers have resorted to fierce Cold War rhetoric. They're playing with fire. Russia has some 6,600 strategic nuclear weapons, mostly aimed at North America and Europe, besides the U.S., which invaded Afghanistan and Iraq and whose Air Force just killed 90 Afghan civilians, 60 of them children, is in no position to lecture Moscow about aggression. France's conservative president, Nicolas Sarkozy, blasted Russia and will shortly hold a European summit over Georgia and Brussels. As usual, the Harper government faithfully echoed Washington's words. Poland agreed to replace a U.S. anti-ballistic missile system only 184 kilometers from the Russian border, provoking Moscow's fury. Ukraine and Poland are loudly backing Georgia. Russia's chief of staff, Yuri Bolovinsky, warns his nation has the right to launch a preemptive nuclear strike, that's a quote, against enemies in line, he tartly noted, with Bush administration's own policy of preemption. Topping off this war of words, two of U.S. Senator John McCain's closest right-wing allies, Senators Joseph Lieberman and Lindsey Graham, went to Georgia and called for tough measures against Moscow. They urged isolating Russia for aggression and admitted Ukraine and Georgia to McCain's allies list in NATO. And it goes on. Russian bombers, again, cloud skies in Europe's far north. That's out of Space War today. In scenes reminiscent of the Cold War, Russian bombers have returned to the skies of Europe's far north after years of absence, putting NATO's jet fighters on alert once again. So it's, and Chinese subs are popping up behind the aircraft carriers while the fluoride heads stumble around drooling on the deck. Literally. Blackwater preps for and involved in Hurricane Gustav. Gaddafi to hand out oil money. He says he's going to give most of the oil profits just to the general public. That's got Wall Street spinning. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has said oil profits should be given directly to the citizens as part of a sweeping economic and political reforms. Speaking during celebrations to mark 39 years in power in Libya's second city, Colonel Gaddafi extolled the virtues of privatization. The Libyan leader said society would reformulate itself in a new, free, and diplomatic way. Police state, RNC, a nun and eight others swept into unmarked van by cops in Minnesota. That's all a snatch-and-grab drill. 283 arrested in Monday's RNC protest in St. Paul. Again, we already reported a bunch of mainline reporters beaten to a pulp, all on video by cops on power trips. Palin rebuts rumor, says daughter pregnant, not her. Who cares? Police fire tear gas into protest group. Obama event suspends Second Amendment rights, UPI. The arrest of a gun-carrying man near Pennsylvania event of Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama was unfair, a gun rights group alleges. Members of OpenCarry.org contend that arrest of John Noble, 50, of industry, was uncalled for, alleging state police suspended a state law allowing the right to bear arms ahead of the scheduled presence of Illinois senator at a nearby site. The Pittsburgh Tribune Review reported today. Noble was arrested Friday in Beaver County near where Obama was to appear after police found him carrying a loaded semi-automatic handgun. I'm no threat to anyone. The 6'3", 280-pound gun owner, oh, see, he's big. He's evil. Told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Mr. Obama doesn't trump my constitutional rights. Oh, yes, he does, Bubba. Congress has been told to get down and lick boots. The president of the United States doesn't trump my constitutional rights. Noble, who was handcuffed and questioned for about 2 hours, was told by state police he would receive two citations by mail for disorderly conduct. You're lucky they didn't kill you, pal, and say you hit him. Noble said he was only intending to hand out flyers about gun rights. And then they went and found the gun in his car. You don't do that. I had a Bible in one hand and an apple in the other. I was going to pass out flyers, but never got the chance. Well, you don't do that in America, boy. Got to learn how to be a slave, punk. Call her General Palin. New reports by the McCain campaign are saying that she's really a general. because she commanded the National Guard in Alaska. These people, the public will believe it. I mean, you know, you tell them cyanide's mother's milk, they'll gobble it down and watch people die. And you can still tell them, nope, it's the law. And they'll go, okay, just fall over dead. You know, I love the government. Oh, you know, you say a gun to my head's good, bam, bam. Oh, I love it. It's, you know, I mean, they just believe anything. Jump off that cliff. It's what you do if you love America. Oh, okay. Ah. We're banning the Bill of Rights. It's pro-America. If you're for the Bill of Rights, you're KGB. Okay. I hate America. Ah. John's up there in Minnesota in the broom closet trying to get things working. Sounds like we're not going to take any more calls today. But hey, c'est la vie. I got so much news to cover, I'm going to skip this break too, only for InfoWars.com stream listeners and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Stay with me. I'm strong to the finish because I drink my coffee. I'm Alex the Coffee Man, which is also KGB.
Everyone knows that people that drink coffee during the afternoon are KGB. He's also been seen drinking screwdrivers with vodka. The clear evidence that he is working for Vladimir Putin. You will learn to not hate America. You will learn to say that Russia attacked United States peach farms in southern Georgia.
Yes, yes, actually, you're right. I'm hearing the voices of the KGB. All right, I'm going to quit screwing around. People have fun without editing it together. Dutch intel, U.S. to strike Iran in coming weeks. I'm going to cover that when we come back to the main audience. Members of fringe Alaskan Independence Party say Palin was a member in the 90s. That was true. That'd be a plus for her. U.S., Europe, Japan mulled dollar support rescue program. Europe, Japan mulled dollar rescue report. That's AP. The other one was CNBC. Silent protests light up Mexico in anti-crime marches. I want to cover that, too, when I get back. Here's the report. The first time in over 200 years that the sun has been spotless, because they've had telescopes for more than 300, going back to Galileo, seeing the trenches on Mars and thinking they were canals. Galileo or Copernicus, I don't know. It was Galileo. But here it is, and now they're saying Ice Age. Maybe I'll go into overdrive today. I've got so much news I haven't covered yet. Vaccine-induced inflammation linked to epidemic of type 2 diabetes and metabolic problems, especially in ethnic groups, people of color. That's Reuters right there. But hell, don't listen to me, you know. Just go take more shots. Die of brain tumors when you're 14. Shoot your kids up. Get diabetes. You know, just let it kill you. I mean, don't listen to me. Hepatitis B vaccine linked to onset of diabetes. Health News, WebMD. That's from WebMD, you know. But, you know, I'm a KGB agent. I probably made that up, too. Just take more shots. Eat GMO food. Everything's fine. The meningitis vaccine linked to diabetes increases. That's from 1999, the British Medical Journal. Oh, my God. Don't listen to them. They're KGB, too. I got a bunch of global government climate tax news. Well, let's go back live to everybody. Here we go.
Whoa, boom, bobble, boom. Whoa, boom, bobble, boom.
If you type in the words vaccine diabetes, you will get thousands of medical journal reports. Here's one out of the British Medical Journal, 1999, that the meningitis vaccine linked to diabetes increase. And there's just thousands of studies. I mean, it's like, you know, you shoot yourself in the head with a 50 caliber rifle, you're probably going to die. You take vaccines, you're going to get diabetes. You drink stuff out of aluminum cans, you're going to get Alzheimer's. I mean, it's real simple. But hey, don't listen to me. Just go ahead, kill yourselves, you know. It's too important to deny the reality and actually save you and your children. So just throw something at the radio right now. Hell, turn it off. I'm only telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, but probably easier just to giggle and laugh and call me a KGB agent. Hepatitis B vaccine linked to onset of diabetes. That's out of WebMD. That's the new one. Go ahead, give it to your baby. You know, it'd be a horrible, painful death, you know, decade later, 20 years later. Meningitis vaccine linked to diabetes. And I mean, just on and on. Here's Reuters, vaccine-induced inflammation linked to epidemic of type 2 diabetes. But hell, man, just don't listen to us. Let the government tell you it's the law, you got to take all these. I mean, that's a lie. That should freak you out that they're lying about something that big, that it's the law, you got to take it. Believe a pack of liars. Take what they say, give you, you know, just don't go to InfoWars.com. Don't get the new film Fabled Enemies I just produced that Jason Burmes directed, an incredible, shocking, controversial 9/11 film. Don't watch it right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't burn copies to disc and give it to people. Just take vaccines, drink fluoride, eat GMO food, and enjoy dying. Drink fluoride! Dutch Intel says U.S. to strike Iran in coming weeks. Jerusalem Post. You know, so what? That's freedom. Over here, silent protesters light up Mexico in anti-crime marches. More than 200,000 white-clad protesters have joined the largest wave of nationwide protest in Mexico City alone. Hundreds of drug-related murders a week, kidnappings, the whole society's imploding. Will the government decriminalize drugs? Hell no! The minute they did, all this would end. That's why they funded prohibition, the liquor companies did, because they knew they'd chip it in and make 100 times. Alcoholism tripled. People want what's illegal. Heroin, cocaine is all shipped in, certified. Anybody that they bust is who isn't certified or who's low level. They've been caught millions of times. I mean millions. They have been caught over and over and over and over again. The banks, every day, thousands of transactions that are known drug transactions from out of the country. That's legal. The world is run by the mafia. And as soon as you figure that out, by the way, it's come out that trichinosis is spreading. It's killing a bunch of people in Austin. It's from the illegal aliens in food preparation. The illegal aliens are defecating all over the produce when it's shipped in. And then that's when I told you that a year ago. Now it's admitted that's where it came from. Isn't going to stop. Isn't going to stop for a minute. Am I against illegal aliens? No. Do I want them with trichinosis making my food? No. Doesn't matter, it's going to intensify, so just enjoy the trichinosis. And enjoy the hepatitis, and enjoy the leprosy now spreading, and just enjoy the drug-resistant TB. And enjoy the Mexican drug gangs, government-backed, murdering whoever they want in the town I live in. Enjoy the rocket attacks, the truck bombs that are covered up, the murders, the kidnappings. We get to be like they are in Mexico. Total peon slaves, pushed around. I'm out of time. Amazing first hour, second hour, third hour. You just heard the wild fourth hour. If you missed any of it, it retransmits now at the one, the only, InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I covered a whole passel of news in the first hour on the protest, what's happening, on the police state, on the economy, on Russia. So I'll be right back. Got to go to one place, InfoWars.com. For everybody else on the M&FM dial, back live tomorrow or 9 to midnight this evening. Don't forget, Fabled Enemies is out. Get the DVD, the new film today.